Recording in progress.
Okay. Welcome. Welcome back. Just to remind you, in case anyone runs out early, this is our last shiur. Based on my travel schedule, this is our last shiur before the Bechina. After this, will be 2 weeks of Chazar and a Bechina. The Bechina will not go until now because I want the Bechina to split half and half. So the Bechina will only go until before, not including Pasnuma Bekara at the bottom of Daf Lamed Tesla and Aleph. But let's see how far we can get today. If you remember, last time we discussed the Machlokas. I have a correction. Some of the guys gave me some pushback over the Metzias of raspberries and exactly what the Maharsham was talking about. And maybe I was a little biased by the... excuse me. By the Mishnah Brura, the Mishnah Brura says in the beginning of Siman Reish Gimel, Malinus. What's Malinus? A Malin? It's a raspberry. No? How do you say raspberry? You don't know. And not everyone who grew up speaking Yiddish ate raspberries.
We knew Yarkiches. Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. So fair. So it must be some subtly different. Anyway, says the Mishmur in the beginning. He says Al Tud Magdalen Bisnesh Akorn Mulberries. But again, they're Umalines Vieshmine. Some of them grow in the Elon and some became Malinus Shalanu Gamkin Duish Magdalen BeElon Shemeskayim Yishana Lashana. Our malanis grow in a tree that lasts many years. This is within the Shulchan Aruch, within the Shita, the Gaonim, as we saw. So the Mishnah Berurah and others say that our raspberries grow on a tree. And a Hanami, the same branch doesn't give every year, but the tree stays. The tricky part is that, as he already admitted, and as I pointed out earlier, just because it's the same type of fruit doesn't mean in all times and places it grows the same. It's the same strain. It depends on the conditions, etc. So when it comes to raspberries, there are some types of raspberries in times and places where there's like a, I wouldn't say a trunk, but there's a little bit of a tree above ground that grows new branches every year. But many types of raspberries, actually just the roots stay under the ground. And grow new branches from there. During the winter, the old branches stay, but they don't produce fruit again. Nothing above ground that produces fruit will ever produce fruit again. It grows up from the ground. 1 year just makes leaves. Second year makes fruit. Third year withers and dies if there's not a farmer who prunes it. And then new ones grow up from the ground. But nothing ever above ground produces fruit more than once. And that's why, even though if you look in all the different brachos books, they say different things. A lot of it comes not from the machlokas in halacha. L'chora, everyone in halacha agrees with the gaonim. If something stays above ground and grows branches year after year, that would be ha'etz. If the roots below ground produce fruit year after year, that would be hadama. The question is just the metzias of raspberries. Halacha l'maisa, we should make hadama on raspberries. And that's what I saw most poskim say. Because most raspberries, and even misafik, it's better to say adama than ha'etz, as we discussed previously. Even most raspberries, they only grow from the roots underground. Like new branches come up, the branches live 3 years, but only produce fruit once. The Gemara is only concerned about how they produce fruits, l'chora. And nothing above ground produces fruit more than 1 year, so raspberries should be hadama, cranberries, bli neder, we will get to. Cranberries and blueberries we'll talk about in a little bit. But first I want to talk about the atad. Now, I'm not sure, I must admit, exactly what this atad is. It could be that it's talking about some sort of raspberries, because atad really means a thorn bush. There's a lot of thorny bushes out there. There's really, no limit to the number of thorny bushes out there. And it could be that's what Tosos is talking about here. But the Yerushalmi says something funny about Atad. The Yerushalmi says in Kilayim, Hakinim v'ha'atad v'ha'agin v'aver Hakinim v'agin v'aver v'ha'atad in an Elam in Klayim Karev. For Klayim purposes, Atad is an Elam. The Gemara asks the question. Ah, v'atani v'hoshe Elam min v'sha'im ha'kinres v'achelmo v'adimo v'ha'atad. So we see it's considered a desha. Tam l'bracha v'kan l'klayim for bracha t'adama. Even though for Klayim it's a tree, a clear difference between Klayim and bracha. What's the nature of the difference between, what's the reason there's a difference between Klayim and bracha when it comes to Atad? Why do we say the Atad is an Eitz L'inyan Klayim and a Yerek L'inyan bracha? Is not 100% clear why that is. The Mefarshim say, many of the Mefarshim say, there's some technical difference. Really, it is a tree. Really, it's a tree. Just, says the Rishash, the good old Rishash that we mentioned a few times, he says, but Lashon B'nei Adam, people don't call it a tree, and Brachos go by Lashon B'nei Adam. Right? So, says the Rishash, there is some technical. There is a technical reason, meaning it is an eight. It's 100% eight, but the Lashon B'nei Adam, it's not an eight, and brachos go by Lashon B'nei Adam. So people don't call it Atad an eight. Do I know why? It depends how people talked in those days in Hebrew.
He had to know what an Atad was.
Correct. Or he could just be speculating. The Mefarshim and the Yerushalmi suggest that this is going all the way back to Daf Lamed Vav. The Mefarshim and the Yerushalmi point out the next line in the Yerushalmi is not talking about what's an Eitz, what's not an Eitz. What's the next line in the Yerushalmi? Amra B'yosi Hada Amra. Esrog afishat omer lo bari per eitz ad omer al tomorrow shalom bring me to the shine. This shows when it comes to an esrog, esrog is for sure a nice big tree. Even though you say on the esrog fruit bari per eitz, on the tamros of the esrog, you say bari me to the shine. Of course, we would say bari per hadama. Okay, what are the tamros? Pashas, the tamros are, what was the English word for them? Gall. That was one of the shitas that we saw by Tzlaf, this like very kind of thing that grows on the leaf. It's not actually botanically similar to a regular berry. You say hadama. What's the tzada shaveh between the fruit of the atad and the tamros, the berries of the atad and the tamros on the esrog? Okay, we're not going to go with. I see you have your official scholarship out there, which suggests that maybe they eat the leaves of Yata, and they were just talking the bracha on leaves. I'm not convinced. what the Ma'arav Fulda says here, but not only Mefarshim explain fully, Ma'arav Fulda on the side of the Yerushalmi says, it goes back to, he doesn't use these words, remember, Nati Adaita Dahachi? Right, that maybe something's only called a pre. We had a debate whether this applies to a tree fruit or not. If it's the intended product, and he says an atad is not, that's what it has in common. The gall and the little berries that appear on the leaves of esrog are not the point of growing an esrog tree. The point is to grow for the fruit. It's just a side product. Likewise, on an atad, what do you grow an atad for? You don't grow an atad for fruit. These berries apparently are not such chashuv things on the atad. That's the whole point. Whatever an atad is, right? We know, what story does everyone know about the atad?
Yaakov, burial. Gorin atad.
Nah, that's not really about an atad.
Abimelech.
Right, Abimelech, right? See, for Shoftim, the mushel of the trees, right? The atad wants to be king of the trees. and what's the whole point? That That's Misamech Elokim Anashim, right? We started that, the very first sugya we learned was based on that mashal, right? They were comparing all the big good trees to the Atan. The Atan wants to be king of the trees, and what was the point of the Atan? That he didn't grow fruit, right? That was the main point. Everyone else grew fruit, and he did nothing. He just sat around, and okay, it's actually, I mean, it's a much deeper mashal than we think, because that is actually what kings do. They just sit around and do nothing and take all the benefits while other people do the work. But that's not, we're not doing political philosophy now. the Atad clearly doesn't make fruit. So the Marafolta, inspired by the, no doubt, by the Mashal in Shoftim, says that an Atad is made, why do you grow thorn trees? So apparently you plant thorn trees for demarcating borders, right? That's what thorn trees are good for. They're good for demarcating borders, and they happen to grow some berries, which no one really likes terribly much, but people eat sometimes because, you know, they're different, whatever. And therefore, it's not, again, he doesn't use this phrase, it's not nati adaitu d'hachi, it's a byproduct, not the main point. And by the esrog and the tzlaf, it's easier to say, we want to grow the avionos, we want to grow the esrog, and then there's a byproduct. Here it's that we don't want to grow any fruits, we just want to grow, fences. We just want to grow fences, and this is a byproduct. Since it's a byproduct, therefore it is not, heights. Because a byproduct gets downgraded. That's the assumption of the Marafolda, and seems to be this simplest pshat in the Yerushalmi, because what does it seem to be the simplest pshat in the Yerushalmi? Because if they're finding some sort of hadah umra, some sort of tzara shava, you can always say the hadah umra is a little looser, but simple pshat, they're finding some sort of tzara shava between the pri ha'atad and the tamros of esrogim. The tamros of esrogim have nothing to do with the fact that it's not a real strong tree. Avad, it's a real strong tree. It's just the tamros are not a chashav growth on that tree. Likewise here, maybe the Atad is a real strong tree. It's not that the Lashem and the Adam is not called a tree. No, but it's called a tree as much as an Esrog. But this is not the pre of that tree because it's only a byproduct. So that's what I think Pashtos in the Yerushalmi, because of the comparison. Again, you can never tell what a comparison means. Maybe some sort of very loose comparison, but Hada Umra sounds like it's a real kind of the Hada Umra. From here, we conclude to there. And this is the parish of Ma'arafel. But also I saw Reb Chaim Kanievsky in the New Yerushalmis. They have Reb Chaim Kanievsky on Zerayim. He takes this approach as well. Islamah, he adopted it from Reb Aaron Fulda. The other version of the Yerushalmi don't like really give good alternative approaches. They just don't explain so much. He said that no, it's 100%. It's 100% an eighth like an esrog, but there's a technical problem, reason, which is lo nati adaita dehachi. And they say, even if you didn't plant it at all, it grew wild, since people who do plant it wouldn't plant it to get the berries, therefore that lo nati adaita dehachi. If people would start farming and planting this in farms to get the berries, that would be a different story. That wasn't the Metzias. Anyone who found an Atad says, oh, this is not something that's meant to produce fruit. This is something that's meant to build fences, natural fences.
What do you do with sabras?
What do we do with sabras?
It's an eight.
So sabra is an eight. People would plant sabras to grow fruit. You could find them in the wild, but if someone had sabras, they would plant them to grow the fruits. Right? I don't think people plant sabras for any other reason. I think people do plant sabras.
They're wild also?
And so if there were, the assumption here is that if you find them in the wild, you go by why someone would plant it. yeah, there's a whole discussion in the Shulchan Aruch we can get to wild berries. They say, oh, any berries that grow wild are not ha'etz. But then they say, that means when they're not choshev and no one would grow them and no one would want them. But people are machshev them and say these are great things and we would plant them if we needed to, or we do plant them, or we wish we would plant them, then that's considered a choshev. And the Chazon Ish says something similar here. Says the Chazon Ish, how do you explain the Atad? He just explains very... okay, the Neshvus Adam has a big kedusha. We won't get into that now. He just explains very generally. He says the peros are really not chashuv. Okay, the peros are really not chashuv. They're not good peros. Don't imagine our raspberries. Again, even if they were raspberries, don't imagine our raspberries. There are lots of things. There are wild versions that are, you know, a 20th as good as the cultivated versions we have nowadays. There might have been some maybe in the same species, whatever, but don't imagine like they sell in the shuk, meaning it's nothing you would sell in the shuk. And the Chazon Ish says something similar. Says the Chazon Ish, the peiros are not chashuvim. You can imagine, I bet if you go to some places, again, all these berries, right? It's interesting. You get very little overlap between Ashkenaz and Sfarad, right? Chazal didn't have any of these berries. If you go to Northern Europe, that's where all these berries are native. Strawberries and raspberries, everything, they all grew in the wild and eventually became cultivated, as opposed to if you go to India, which Chazal did not have, but started to spread to Iraq and Iran, etc., places where there were big Jewish yeshuvim. After the time of Chazal, that's why the Gaon Rishon Lezion deal with bananas and eggplants, etc. So it's basically like Northern Europe had its fruits, which crept into the discussion in Tosfos and the Rosh and Mordechai, and India had its fruits, which crept into this, didn't make it Chazal, but made it to the Gaonim and the Rishon Lezion, not that they lived in India, but that it spread, you know, from India, it slowly spreads to Iran, spreads to Iraq, and at a certain point, it's everywhere. Okay, Viter. That's the Chazon Ish, Einam Chashuvim. However, it's different, correct, but it's similar in that. It's very similar in that it could be that Einam Chashuvim means it's similar. It's Yesh L'ayin, whether Einam Chashuvim just means objective Chashivas or Einam Chashuvim means you wouldn't plant it for that, but you're right. Say, says the Chazon Ish, it is because the Peiros are Einam Chashuvim. That could just be a matter of Chashivas. Maybe a high-level bracha needs Chashivas, not just a certain description, and it lacks Chashivas. However, the Radvaz takes a different approach. The Nishma Sadim doesn't like this Radvaz at all. The Nishma Sadim doesn't like this Radvaz at all. The Nishma Sadim in the end sounds a little more like maybe he would support the Rashash even. He says, it's not very strong wood, so you wouldn't call it a tree. Sounds a little more like Lashon B'nai Adam. But the Radvaz says, I put the whole thing in brackets, just like one line, because this is a side point. He says, some people say Otor is Hadama, and that follows the Shita of the Gaonim. Right? If you remember, the Gaonim and the Rush, that was our big discussion last time. Some people say it's Hadama, and that follows the Shita of the Gaonim. What he thinks is that the reason why Atad is Hadama is, meaning when Tosfos says, doesn't work so well in Tosfos, I think, which is exactly why Mishnah Sadim tells him. But when Tosfos says, certainly easier, when the Mordechai says, that, a Pri Ha'atad is different, that's Hadama. Why is Pri Ha'atad different? It's Hadama because it regrows from the roots, but not from the trunk. And that's the Shita of the Gaonim. He thinks the Atad is just the Shita of the Gaonim. Where does he get that from? L'chor, he gets that from the Lashon of the Mordechai. If you look in the Lashon of the Mordechai, it sort of sounds like the Atad is the Shita of the Gaonim. What does the Mordechai say? One second, I have Mordechai here. Says the Mordechai, it says in the Tshuvas HaGaonim that whatever regrows from the roots and the trunk doesn't last through the winter is Hadama. And Mikan Pasek Rav Yosef or someone and the Rav Yah that the Tutim and the Prizas and the Bisonis and etc. are Hadama. And Rav Noach Eliyahu, which is might be just a version of the same person of Rav Yonachim and Artosis, brought a Raya from the Yerushalmi. A Raya from the Yerushalmi sounds like a Raya for the Gaonim from the Yerushalmi. Right, and then he quotes the whole Yerushalmi. So again, you could say means Araya of the same results for a different reason. The Gaonim thought that these were Hadama because they regrow from the roots. And he says, no, they're Hadama because it's an Atad because of one of these other reasons. But the simple pshat is the Pashtos of the Mordechai and the Radvaz is that, no, what the Yerushalmi is saying is that this is exactly Shitas HaGaonim, that Atad is not an eitz because it regrows from the root, not the trunk. And again, that is definitely true of Tosos a little funny. Tosos, but strawberries aren't an autot. It's not really going to work in Tosos. Tosos, strawberries are not an autot. Raspberries are. That means raspberries are thorny, and strawberries are not thorny. But it could work in the Mordechai, right?
So why did Rabbeinu Tam in the Maram in Rotenberg say Bereshit Ha'etz?
Because they held like the Rush.
They're arguing in the
Mishnah. And I don't know what they thought about the Yerushalmi. No, the Chazanish are arguing with Sias. The Bach explains clearly. I explained all the Rishonim based on the Bach. That's why I put the Bach on the Makoros sheet, not just for that one place where I put it. Unlike everyone else who gets confused, Rabbeinu Tam and the Maram held like the Rush. That whatever the roots live for many years is an eight. So they've said eights on all the berries. The other Rishonim held like the Raviyah held like the Gaonim. Whatever regrows from the roots and not the trunk, you say Hadama. They said Hadama. And then Rabbi Nachman Eliyahu, Rabbi Nochel Eliyahu, wherever he was, brought a Raya from the Yerushalmi. Is he bringing a Raya from the Yerushalmi? Is a different reason to say Hadama on the berries than the Gaonim? Simple pshat, it sounds like bringing a Raya for the Gaonim, and that's the Radvaz. The Radvaz understands from the Mordechai. Again, it's also, she can't say this, that the Radvaz understands from the Mordechai that the sheet of the Yerushalmi, the reason Atar is Hadama, is not because of Lashem Dei Adam, and not because it's a byproduct or a non-kosher fruit. The reason why it is Hadama is because of the Gaonim, because it regrows from the roots. Because it regrows from the roots. Then this ends up being this Radvaz, and if this is true in the Mordechai, then this ends up being exactly the same as the as the Ra'ah and the Ritva. Meaning the first part of the Ra'ah and the Ritva. Why? Because what this means is that only bracha depends on Isa Legavza v'Hadar Mapik. Right? Bracha depends on Isa Legavza v'Hadar Mapik, but Klayim doesn't, because the Gemara says that Atat for Klayim is Ha'eitz. So Klayim depends on some other criterion. What is that other criterion for Klayim? So it's obvious that this is just the Shita, the Ritva, the first day in the Ra'ah, which is that Klayim depends. What would Klayim depend on then? If Klayim doesn't depend on the Shita of the Gonim, what he's saying is the Shita of the Gonim is the right shot in our Gemara. Easily Gavza Hadarmapik means the trunk lives. And that's only true for Brachos. So it doesn't apply to Klayim. So what does apply to Klayim? Meaning, obviously, what? Pashut, it means the Tosefta of Motzi Olin Meikaro. Right? Obviously, if our Gemara's Geder, Isla Gavza Hadarmapik, according to the Mordechai and the Radvaz, doesn't apply to Klayim, then what determines what's true for Klayim? Well, just go to the Tosefta and Klayim, and you know what determines what's true for Klayim, and that's why there's a difference in terms of Atad, and therefore this just equals, we've just discovered, that this equals the Shita of the Ritva and the first Deya in the Ra'ah. So we can add to the first day in the Ra'ah and the Ritva, the Radvaz and Pashas of the Mordechai, who say that our Gemara doesn't apply to Klayim at all. There's a fundamental difference in Klayim and Bracha. When it comes to Bracha, it depends whether it regrows next year, like the Pshat and the Gaonim. When it comes to Klayim, it depends. When it comes to Klayim, it depends how tall it is. Would the Olin come from the ground? Would the Olin come from on high? When it comes to Brachos, it depends whether it lasts year after year, and they're just a fundamentally different gedder of eights for Bracha and for Klayim. So here we have a nice summary of the relationship between Bracha and Klayim. It could be there's just two fundamentally different tests, one for the Tosefta, one for the Bavli, or it could be no, they both depend on the same test. There's just a technical issue that with an Atad has to have Lashon B'nei Adam to be a little different. And why would Lashon B'nei Adam be a little different? We're not sure. But they don't call an Atad an eight. Maybe. Although this worm works so well for Tosos because it doesn't have strong wood. You can't build wooden kela out of it. Or maybe just because it is a byproduct. But the same thing. If you farmed it on purpose, would turn into heights. It's not anything fundamental. It just depends what your intention is.
Why would they make a difference? I mean, the kelaim obviously has to be doraita.
Mm-hmm.
So why would the rabbanon making a takana? Why would they change it?
Why would they make a different geder between kelaim and between bracha? So I don't know if I suggested one or two things last time. I think two things, but one perhaps I gave more attention. Number one, the Chazon Ish suggests, although he doesn't go all the way. He says it's only true for Zeruim, not for Klai Akerin. Maybe Kalayim depends on whether it looks mixed. If it's big and it grows from the top, it doesn't look mixed with all the things growing on the ground next to it. If it grows from the bottom, it looks mixed with the things growing from the ground next to it. So it could be Kalayim depends on the whether it looks mixed, while Brachas depends on what it is. Or it could be, they'll use the lashon of the Ra'ah and the Ritva, Kalayim depends on the plant, and the plant depends on how it grows, while bracha depends on the fruit, and the fruit depends on whether the fruit emerges from the ground every year or the fruit emerges from something pre-existing above the ground every year.
The first explanation doesn't fit the Atar, because the Atar is a bush, it's not a tree.
It's a bush, but it grows the leaves from a branch that's 10 inches in the air, not from the ground.
10 inches is considered high.
Yes. Okay. Let me just do some halacha lemaisa. It's the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, as we know, Simon Reish Gimel, like the Gaonim, and it's an interesting discussion in the Achronim whether we paskin whether we're choshesh lechumralin in Orla like the Rush or not. The maskana of most Achronim seems to be that we paskin vivados like the Gaonim, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. In Sif Beis, bananas are Hadama. We all know that. In Sif Aleph, Sif Gimel, bananas are Hadama. In Sif Beis, some sort of berries are Hadama. Why? And the Rambam explains, because they regrow from the roots, and we hold like the Gaonim. There's an interesting Mishnah Brewer here who talks about peros shegdilim alivlanos ketanos, peros that grow on short trees. Like some sort of blackberries. What if they grow less than three tefachim high? All the achronim say bar pereitz. Acha olam nogin levarach bar piyadama. But the olam says hadama. So the olam says hadama on these blackberries that grow on short bushes. The efshar detama dlochashivi kol kach pri. And maybe. It's because they're not considered so much a pre. Here, it's interesting. There are some halachas farm nowadays, maybe even some poskim nowadays, who understood the Mishnah Berurah to say that the minhag olam is to say. Now, what do we have that grows less than three tefachim nowadays?
Strawberries.
Strawberries are dumb anyway because they regrow from the roots. What about cranberries? Cranberries have a trunk that lasts many, many years. But it's very short. Cranberries are very short. As a matter of fact, anyone know how they harvest cranberries?
They fill the whole thing up with water.
Right. They don't pick the cranberries by hand. They're very small. That would be too expensive. I mean, they would do it, but they have a more efficient way. They just flood a few inches of water in the field. And the cranberries are so lightly attached to the bush that they come off and they just float to the top of the water and then they collect all the cranberries. But they're very, very short. That's why this works. Very good. So what about cranberries? So there are some posts who want to say cranberries are hadama based on this Mishnah Berurah that the minhag is to consider anything less than three tefachim to be that the minhag is to consider anything less than three tefachim to be not chashuv and to be hadama. That is, I think, pashtus wrong for two reasons. We should say ha'etz on cranberries for two reasons. Number one, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, Neivris Moshe, he says, the Mishnah Berurah says, the din is to say, by the way, this also apply to, not the kind we get, there are small kinds of blueberries that grow on very, very low bushes as well. The big blueberries grow on taller bushes. But let's say cranberries. Number one, Rav Moshe says that the Mishnah Berurah says, the halachas it should be ha'etz, because the trunk lasts for many, many years. And it's just a minhag b'alma to say hadama. When it comes to a minhag that doesn't have a strong halachic basis, so you go by the minhag. And Ramosh says, okay, in his town, in his area, there might have been that minhag, but nowadays we don't have that minhag. And therefore we say ha'etz. And I think Ramosh has to be right nowadays. If you Google nowadays, half the websites will tell you ha'etz on cranberries, half will tell you hadama on cranberries. Obviously, there's no fixed minhag. There's no fixed minhag. You should go back to the Ikra Din, which is to say ha'etz. Additionally, I think it was based on a misunderstanding, perhaps, of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah quoted the Chaya Adam here in the Nishmas Adam. He talked about low trees. Says first he thought maybe anything below three tefachim is not considered a tree. Then on Shabbos you're allowed to lean on, you know, on a trunk that's less than three tefachim. But he says that's not true. He brought many proofs that for mitzvah tlois la'aretz, it's considered a tree. And then he says, oh, well, maybe people say Adama because they're not chashev. But what did he mean because they're not chashev? So I don't think he meant because it's less than three tefachim, that's why they're not chashev. I think he meant just these blackberries that he had were not chashev. Maybe it's like the Pirus HaAtad, according to most of the, Shad of the Mishalmi, many Mepharshim, that he had a kind of blackberry that grew in little bushes in the wild. They weren't cultivated. And they just weren't chashev because they were not really so good. They were not worth producing. They just were accidental byproducts. Maybe they're just stam, not chashev. So I don't think there was ever a minhag to say hadama on trees that were less than three tefachim high. I think there's a misunderstanding in the Mishnah Berurah / Nishmas Adam. What he meant is, even though they're less than three tefachim high, you have to look at the Nishmas Adam. It says, have a mean it depends on three tefachim? No, three tefachim is irrelevant, halachically. So why do we say Adama must be it's not chashev? Three tefachim is just in the have a mean that he thought that might have been a factor. In the end, it's just it's not chashev because it's physically not chashev because they're not such good berries. But cranberries, if people farm them and make a parnasa out of growing tons of them, then obviously they are chashev. You should say eight. So I think it's possible you should say eights on cranberries. Again, because there was never a minhag to say hadama on short trees. The minhag just happened to be, he started the discussion with short trees and ended by saying it's not chashev. The minhag to say hadama on things that aren't chashev, which is pirus ha'atad according to the Chazon Ish and according to the Mefarsh of the Yerushalmi, which is not such a big chiddush. It was just a question of what to be magdar is not chashev. But if cranberries are grown by farmers to make a parnasa, obviously they are chashev. And B, even if there was such a minhag, Rav Moshe writes, we don't have that minhag anymore. And if you Google on the internet, find half and half, then there's no clear minhag. When there's no clear minhag, then you have to stick with what the poskim say, la halacha. So to me, it's pasha, you should say ha'eitz on cranberries. The last thing, yeah.
We quoted a Be'er Halacha earlier that Paris Ha'ilan in general are chashuvim biyoser. So we're saying that wood and the entire five, the low ones, he's only referring to ones that are specific height, or?
No, I mean, some people would say he only meant ones that are high, not ones that are low, but I'm saying he meant, no, he only meant the regular ones, but not some that you investigate and determine to be, you know, really not so desirable. Okay, the last thing I want to mention is just the famous eggplant controversy. There's an amazing Shutrat Vaz who started the whole eggplant controversy. Eggplant is actually very tricky. You see, the Rav Haigon said a pashat eggplant is hadama because it regrows from the roots and the trunk dies every year, like a banana. Okay, that might be true in some places and in some strains, but not the normal eggplants we have nowadays. The normal eggplants we have nowadays, the trunk grows and lasts for 3 years. And just the trunk stays 12 months a year and gives fruit year after year for 3 years. So what bracha do you make on eggplant? Of course, the more chumra question that Vaz dealt with is not just what bracha you make on eggplant, but if they only last 3 years, then there always are. Can you eat eggplant? And as a matter of fact, there was a Kafta Raferach who said, Kafta Raferach is an old Sefer Rishtoria Parchi, one of the Rishonim who wrote about Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, who says eggplants are just treif. You're never allowed to eat eggplants because they're always arla. Because I checked a little. I think still nowadays people don't grow eggplants for more than 3 years. Like, it's not that strong of a tree. So all eggplants are arla, so you can't eat them. That was that was one pshat. And the Radvaz, it's just amazing if you just look at physically at this Shut Radvaz. He goes through a lot of lumdus. We can't go through all of it now. I'm just looking here at the way this is printed out. 2.5 pages of why it's usher to eat eggplants. And in the end, he's like, well, you know what? But if other people eat eggplants, you can eat the food they cook in their pots. That was his, like, you know, klala de milsa. He said, okay, it's proper to be machmir. Then he has the last two lines. Shalisi l'Eretz Yisrael. He was a big rav in the Mitzrayim. When he made aliyah ra'isi kulam nogav hatcher, all of a sudden I saw everyone ate eggplants in Eretz Yisrael. Masha the pshita lehavva they have a yerek. You have a suffik time on suffik other Yisrael must be that it was pashtim them was mutter because any suffik of arlo zasser in Yisrael. So he says, all of a sudden I made aliyah and I saw that it's very nice that I paskin was treif. But, or I pass it, there was, we should be machmir. I pass it was treif, but everyone eats it in Eretz Yisrael. V'nischadishli tam acher. So I thought of a different reason. Again, okay, I'm glossing over some differences between the way we grow eggplants, the way he grew eggplants, just to focus on the last line. V'nischadishli tam acher. He thought of he said, there must be a reason. Now, what is everyone eating it? So the chidah brings down Mesorah that it wasn't just everyone eating it. It was everyone saw the Ari ate eggplant and Rav Chaim Vital ate eggplant. You know, you can't say the Ari ate treif. That's already something. Whoever you are, you can't say the Ari ate treif. Even if you're not such a big Kabbalist, okay, yeshful. So everyone ate eggplant. So he says there must be a reason eggplant is mutter, and that's the big mystery. The big mystery is why is eggplant mutter after all? What do we know? We only know two things. We know that our Gemara says it depends whether, according to the Weepas, like the trunk lives for year after year, and the trunk does live for year after year. And, okay, there's also this Yerushalmi of whether the leaves grow from the ground or from the trunk, and the leaves grow from the trunk. Meaning, according to every marker we have, eggplant should be treif. Again, the Radvaz is coming from a slightly different angle. I'm not getting into that specifically. So why is an eggplant kosher? Eggplant, what is an eggplant? Or how do they call eggplant? No, that's not what they say, right? They say Barangin, right? Any South Africans here?
It's aubergine.
It's aubergine in England. It's aubergine. Aubergine is Barangin. And I'm pretty sure no South Africans. Someone called Noah Trudansky, but you don't know what they call eggplant. The English call it aubergine, which is just from the Arabic barangin. And I'm pretty sure in the South African English, they call it brangin, which is just the Arabic barangin. We American English, we call it eggplant. No one knows why we call it eggplant, because
it looks like an egg.
It looks I would not want to meet the bird that laid that egg in a dark alley. But it's because there are many different varieties of eggplant. You can find this out on the internet. There are different varieties with different size and color of fruits. We have big purple fruits. And popular kind of eggplant in Europe was about this size white oval fruit, which is basically an egg. So it was an eggplant because it was a plant that grew eggs. Here he showed a picture of the eggplant. So we just don't know why they called it eggplant. They called it eggplant because they're also white, smaller ones that look very suspiciously like eggs. So it's called an eggplant. Again, while the British and South Africans kept the original Arabic word of brangin or aubergine, for those who are very good, you have British roots.
No, I just know English.
Okay, good luck with your empire. Why is eggplant mutter? The way we grow it, certainly it fails all the tests. So said the Radvaz, there must be a new rule. What's the new rule? Said the Radvaz, because motzi pri toch shnoso. So some of the Achronim get confused. They say, what do you mean? There's lots of things. If we replant a sapling, it will grow fruit in the first year. Apples also, if you replant a sapling, it can grow fruit in 1 year. Maybe not apples, but lemons, etc. So, you know, that's replanting a sapling. That doesn't count. If you plant a seed, no one thinks you've planted an apple seed or an orange seed or a lemon seed or a plum seed, you will see any fruit within a year. That's ridiculous. Only vegetables, if you plant a tomato seed or a cucumber seed, you'll see a fruit in a few weeks. But eggplant is fascinating. If you plant the seed, then it grows fruit within the first year. It says any that grows fruit within the first year, that proves that it is a vegetable. Another shita was what? He made it up. What was the mucker of everyone who said this? The mucker of everyone who says this, the Rishami later in Kalayim says, what about Kruv? Kruv doesn't seem to match the rules, and they say something about Kam Bavadai Kam Basafik, which no one knows what it means. And what some of us say it means that, you only use the rules mentioned in Shas if you're Masafik. But if you're sure what it is, you don't need to use the rules in Shas. It says here we're sure what it is, because it grows in 1 year, and that's obviously a rule that I just thought of today. But fascinatingly, what's the real reason? The real reason is because if the Arizal ate eggplant, it must be kosher. If eggplant is kosher, it must be a vegetable. So why is eggplant a vegetable? It must be, there's another rule, that it has to take more than a year to grow.
There's also the trunk is different than a regular tree trunk.
How so?
I mean, it's more like honey fruit bar.
How so? Because, give me one word.
Bar, I guess.
Okay. The Halachos Katanos says a different one. Says the Halachos Katanos. That's a Yaakov Chagiz, one of these Sephardi. It was all Sephardi Achronim talking about eggplants. Why is all Sephardi Achronim talking about eggplants? Because they had eggplants earlier. He says because it has a hollow trunk. Okay. He says anything with a hollow trunk can't be a tree. A tree has to have a wooden trunk. A wooden trunk means that there's something inside. Since it's a hollow trunk, that's what you meant, like sugarcane. Since it's a hollow trunk, obviously he would say sugarcane is hadama.
But there are only the Tera'is.
Okay, so they disagree. Since it has a hollow trunk, another svara was they quoted from the Al-Sheikh. It's not found in the Al-Sheikh on the Chumash. He says, because a tree lasts for many years. A tree gives good fruit for many years. Says an eggplant, the fruit gets worse every year. The first year the fruit is good. The second year the fruit is okay. The third year the fruit is barely passable. And then it stops. Says if the quality of the fruit keeps going down, that proves that it's a yerek. Because if you plant an apple tree, no, the quality of the fruit goes up. First it grows a little, then a little more, then a little more, then it reaches its peak. It stays there for a few years. And then, okay, maybe 20 years later it'll die. No one lives forever. But it's very unlike a tree, he says, because the quality of the fruit goes down each year. So all of these are theories that people came up with. Basically, it's all post facto. It's theories people come up with. The truth is that some of the modern-day Sfarad Achronim are sure the Ravaz is right, because the Rav Pa'olim, which is the Ben Ish Chaim, writes that he quotes from the Grash Gramazian, who said that he found the Tosefta that said like the Red Paz. So if it's a Tosefta, it must be right. Now,
we found no such Tosefta. We don't know what the Grash
Gramazian actually wrote, but that's the reason why, for the Sephardi Achronim, they say, look, if the Ben Ish Chai approved of the Rosh Gramazian, who said he found the Tosefta, it must be Tosefta. If it's not an our Tosefta, it's our problem, not his. So they said it was for sure correct. This, of course, gets into the famous controversy. Anyone ever go to the fruit store up on Chachmi next to Zol Begadol? Okay. You have a picture of the Tuda? Someone showed me a picture of the Tuda the other way. Not someone who's here the other day. Not someone who's here. Who showed me a picture of the Tuda of the fruit store up on Chachmi? Okay, they showed me a picture because it was big Chiddush. It was now Mahadran. Fruit store up on Chachmi is Mahadran, 70% of the time. We're now for the next 4 3/4 years in that 70%. Then it'll be 2 years and a little where it won't be, and then we'll keep cycling back and forth because it's too hard to not rely on the Hatim Khira for the owner. But otherwise, what's the big deal to be a Mahadran store? It's so hard to be a Mahadran store. So whatever. So, you get fruits with a certificate from a Mahadran, but that's that they weren't Orla. Not so hard. Most fruits aren't Orla. You get a certificate from Badatze de Haredis or whoever, not exactly that they took Trumas or Maishos. What's the big deal? If they're not sure if they took Trumas or Maishos, they'll take Trumas or Maishos again. It'll kill your profit margin. If it's not Shemitah, it's not so hard to be Mahadran fruit store. Except you have some limitations. It says on I don't have the picture here. What's that? Last time I checked, 2.5 years ago. It says in the thing, this store is not allowed to sell papaya under any circumstances. I have to give up the papaya business. Now, I don't know the last time. When was the last time someone here decided not to buy papaya for halakhic reasons? When was the last time anyone bought papaya? Maybe the dried papaya, which probably comes from Turkey or something. When was the last time anyone bought fresh papaya?
Very big in the Heights.
Very big in the Heights. Okay, so in the Heights, that's a different story. Okay, good, so we have two. You see how if they give up these two guys, he'll still make a better pronounce of all the guys who want the Hadron Tuta.
Really good.
So, you eat papaya?
Yeah,
That doesn't go with the frequency of your speaking Yiddish.
That's correct.
Okay, Rabosai. Why do they not eat papaya? Because papaya is mostly orla. So in Chutz La'aretz, in the Heights, who says everyone eats papaya in the Heights? Again, I'm not necessarily from a culinary perspective, I'm not recommending anything. But from a halakh perspective, you want to eat papaya and, you know, buy it off shady guys in the street in the Heights. That's fine. It's mostly orla, but it could be not orla. I don't know what the odds are. Even if the odds are 1%, okay, in Chutz La'aretz, that's good enough. But in Eretz Yisrael, all papaya is, most papayas are less. Suffolk are less for sure, also in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because the papaya tree lasts, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. You know, you do a Google search. Some people say it lasts 3 years. Some people say it lasts 4, 5, 6 years. Lamaisa, but it's poches v'holich. Like Beis Shammai. There are papayas that are not orla, but there's a minority of them, and it's hard to get them because it grows less every year. And therefore, the Mahadran stores can't sell papaya. So why can non-Mahadran stores sell papaya? Because this is a machlokes between the Sephardic Achronim and the Ashkenazic, Sephardic modern-day poskim and all Sephardic poskim versus many, maybe even most Ashkenazi poskim, right? All Sephardic poskim say, papaya is mutter, it's a shud of the Rav Palim. The Banish Chai says, mutter, eat papaya, good enough for us. And why do you say it's mutter, eat papaya? Because you can't deny that it's mutter, eat eggplant. And whatever applies to eggplant applies to papaya. Papaya grows in the first year. And papaya has a hollow trunk. And papaya, the quality of fruits goes way down each year. And the Rav Palma adds something else. Not clear. At the end, he says, it's also a funny tree. He gives all the reasons why it's mutter. Not as funny as Rav Vaz. And he says, and now I actually heard from someone what the tree looks like. Now, obviously, he had heard things about it because he brought down different sakim. But like he said, I read, when he wrote the old tree, he knew that it had a hollow trunk and he knew this and he knew that. But he said, but now someone actually who saw it with his own eyes told me the whole story. And now I see there's many other reasons that it's mutter. And some of the other reasons, according to this, papaya is mutter. That's why I don't think you find any Sephardi who's machmer on papaya. So really, the guy in the fruit store in Chakmi could sell papaya. Because even if he's selling to the frumest, most machmer people in the world, they're all Sephardim on his street. And they would buy papaya with gladly. But it's a low plug of the Rabbanut.
But they're French Spartans.
No. You don't understand French Spartan. I don't care what kind of Spartan they are. If every single Sparty posting in the last 100 years says it's mutter, then it's mutter. You know, you're not going to scare them with a bunch of Yiddish sounding names who think they have Masorah and say it's Usher when they don't really know how to be Jewish. So anyway, Viter, and you can add some other things. Plus, you could add other svaros. What are some other svaros? Interestingly, papayas are very strange. They don't grow on branches. There are no branches of the papaya tree. The fruits grow on the trunk, unlike any other fruit tree I've seen in my entire life. There's just like one stalk that goes up, You know, there's one stalk that goes up, not like in an eggplant, stalk grows up and then it grows, not very, very strong big branches, but it grows like little branches that eggplants hang from. Bananas, which are vegetables anyway, because the trunk dies in the winter. You know, it grows, then it grows like a little thing and bananas hang down for it. Papayas, like, it grows, like, you know, here's the trunk. And like, here's a papaya sticking out. Like the papayas are just sticking out around the trunk. So maybe that makes a difference. He also adds that where the papayas grow this year, they can't grow next year. Like next year, it grows a new level, new coma, and they only grow on the top floor. And each year, it grows a new floor, and they grow from there. Now, the truth is, they point out date palms also do that, but then they grow on branches. So I think what he means is combined the other svara, which is that the fruit grows on the trunk. I really don't know any other food where it grows on the trunk. I know the Ramban says pepper looks like it's part of the tree, but it means part of the like little green branch that hangs down.
The javatikaba.
What?
The javatikaba. It's a Brazilian fruit tree. So.
Which is probably a papaya.
Really cool.
Okay, it's the papaya's brother. Fine. The fruit grows on the trunk and on a new coma. I don't know how to say. I don't want to say new floor.
That floor.
What?
That floor.
Level.
And a new level every year. So, therefore, all the Spartans say papaya is okay. But many Ashkenazi poskim, half and half, I don't know, but it could be majority of Ashkenazi poskim or machmer and papaya. At least what I would say is this. I think majority of Ashkenazi poskim say we're masupik about papaya, so one should be machmer. Not that they know that it's aser, but why? All Ashkenazi eat eggplant. I never met an Ashkenazi who did I don't know, you have to use the briskers, but I never even met a brisker who doesn't eat eggplant. So why would you eat eggplant and not papaya? Based on everything you've said until now, what chiluk could you make? Or if you read the Chazon Ish, what chiluk could you make?
It doesn't last more than 3 years.
Aha! The papaya lasts five years. The eggplant lasts 1, 2, 3 years. The eggplant cannot make it out of Arla. The papaya can make it out of Arla, just it's not going to produce so well, and you know, it's going to be hard. Says the Chazon Ish, he also throws in the red vase, but this is all one derech, right? But, says the Chazon Ish, he says, no, you know what? The reason that eggplant is a vegetable is because it doesn't live more than 3 years. It can't be that something's a tree if it doesn't live more than 3 years, because then you would never be able to eat from it. And it can't be that there's a tree you're not allowed to eat from. Right. He doesn't mean, the Rav Zahavimina say, oh, maybe there's like a drusha that only something you can get the fourth year has arla. He's not saying, it's not a drusha. It's just a svara. That when the Torah said you can't eat a tree for the first 3 years, obviously a tree is only something that lasts more than 3 years, because the Torah wouldn't tell you not to eat it at all.
There are animals you can.
Sarachian, says the Chazon Ish, because it never lives past 3 years, and therefore it must be a vegetable. Again, he's not saying it's like a kula. It's a tree, but don't worry. You don't have to keep arla. It'll be too hard. He's saying in Goy Milsa that it is a vegetable. And therefore, if you hold like the Chazon Ish, the only reason eggplant is mutter is because it only lasts 3 years. Or papaya lasts 4 or 5 years would be usser. What does the Torah want us to do with papaya? Yeah, the Torah wants papaya. It'd be very hard to grow. You'd have to grow it for 3 years, not eat all the good fruit, get a little of the fourth fruit. It'll be expensive. Okay, Beseder. Doesn't say everything has to be easy to grow and cheap. Basically, all the modern-day Ashkenazic Achronim say either we're not close to the Chazon Ish, or the Chazon Ish is right, or what many Ashkenazic poskim say is, look, it could be the Chazon Ish is right, it could be all the Sephardi Achronim are right, therefore, misafik b'machmer and arla, and that's why Mahadran fruit stores cannot sell papaya, because of the suffix that maybe the Chazon Ish is right. What the Chazon Ish throws in is he says, you know what? I think my pshat has an advantage over everyone else's pshat. I think my pshat is better than everyone else's pshat. Why does the Chazon Ish think his pshat is better than everyone else's pshat? And I think, well, this we will end the sugya. Why does he think his pshat is better than everyone else's pshat? This is a stretch. You can tell me if you like it or not. He says, everyone else has to say there's a halacha that's not found in Shas. That's true anyway, that the Ravaz thought of overnight. Or someone else did. He says, mehechitesi. He says, for me, No, I don't think this halacha not found in Shas. I think that's what our Gemara meant. Our Gemara meant ki shakla lepeiri isigav zehadar mapik. The tree grows, produces fruit again. He just adds one thing to our Gemara. Our Gemara obviously meant the tree produces fruit again after the third year. That's what our Gemara says. I'm not saying something out of the Gemara. I'm just giving a tight to the Gemara. When the Gemara says it produces fruit again, it means again for at least 4 years. And therefore, he sticks it into the Gemara. Okay, you could like it sticking in the Gemara. You not like it sticking in the Gemara. But he says, Avad, the Maipshat is right, because I think that's a Hadar Mapik. Hadar Mapik for 4 years. You know, all I'm doing is adding a number to what's mentioned in the Gemara, not adding a new theory entirely. And that's the machlokas about papaya in Israel. Again, in America, it's a non-issue because, or Brazil, or wherever papayas come from, or whatever, Jabutiba, whatever, because it's all at least the suffix. It's all at least a suffix, meaning mutter. If it was vaday orla, then the Chazon Ish would say it's mutter, and everyone would say it's mutter, and it would be a vegetable. The whole reason why they're machmir is because it might be from the fourth year, which is why in Chutz La'aretz you don't have to worry about it, but in Eretz Yisrael, the Ashkenazi Mahadrin do not eat papaya. But many Ashkenazim do eat papaya because there are lots of Ashkenazim poskim who agree with the Sephardi poskim, and the rest of them are sort of sopik and ain't sofim mostly devadai, and there's good svaris to be made. Okay, Viker.
Now, Lavos Ketanos is also nothing new. I mean, it's just the definition of a drunk.
Gavza. He'd say, oh, that's the definition of a Gavza. I mean, you don't say something or when the Gemara says Gavza, we all know Gavza means something that's solid. Okay, good. And the truth is, the Alshech can also say, what is Hadar Mapik? Hadar Mapik means it gives the same quality of fruit. The Bach proves the Gemara was up. And that's how the Bach proves the Gaonim are right. The Gavza means the trunk, not the roots. Correct. But the what? Okay, but they're not defining it. They just happen to mention something offhand. Okay.
If one does not it's like now following the chazak is it papaya or
no? Ashkenazim eat eggplant because either this is the reason or this is the reason. Memet of shach, eggplant is mutter. The question is eggplant mutter for a reason that also applies to papaya, or is eggplant mutter for a reason that doesn't apply to papaya? So what about the bracha on papaya? Good question. So everyone should make hadamah on papaya. Why? Because even if there's just even if it's a suffix, in a suffix you always say hadama because if it's really ha'etz, you go to hadama. It's really hadama, you're not yotzu ha'etz. So everyone says, even the Chazon Ish would say hadama. I don't know, but I'm speculating. Say hadama on papaya because you can always be on the safe. It's always better to be on the safe side. So for sure we say hadama on papaya.
And eggplant also.
Yeah, eggplant we say vada yerek. So for sure we say hadama. Yeah, everyone says hadama on eggplant. And everyone says hadama on papaya. Even those who are machmer and arla say, but it's still a suffix. Still at least a little bit of a suffix. So it's better to say hadama to not take your chances. Okay, continuing in the Gemara of Osai.
Do you want a picture of this now?
Please, yes. Says the Gemara in Daf Mem Amud Beis, V'al kulan im omar shahakul yatsa itmar. Rav Huna amar chutzin apasvene yayin. Yeah, everything that goes through shahakul, but not bread and wine. So the Pnei Yeshua points out, and the Hechi Tasi that kulan means not bread and wine, says he's reading our Mishnah not in the context of the previous Mishnah. It says Birach al priha ilan bari priha dama yatzah al piras haaretz bari priha itzal yatzah v'al kulan amar shachan liyud bari yatzah. Yeah, ha'etz and hadama on all ha'etz and hadama. If you say shachal, you're yotzei. Not talking about pas and yayin. That's not in this Mishnah. That's in the previous Mishnah. And Rabbi Yochanan says no. You have to read our Mishnah as a continuation of the previous Mishnah. I'll cool on everything discussed in the parak so far, right? Remember, chutz min hapasim and ayayin. Rabbi Yochanan, afilu pas v'yayin, even pas and yayin. All Rishonim that I've seen agree in this, that we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, b'di'evrej shahakol, even on pas and yayin, you are still yotze. You know what? Yes, neima kit hanoi. Ra pas v'yomar kamen, no 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 pas v'yomar kam And I guess he didn't know Hilchos Brachos so well. He says, boy, this is beautiful bread. Blessed is Hashem who created it. Yatzah, he's Yotze, his bracha. Even though he said in his own words, Ra te'ena barakana, na te'ena zo barakha makhish bra, Yatzah, divar of mayor, Rabbi Yotze, Yomar, kol, mishan, rebeah, shem, tovah, chomer, brachos, lo yatzah, yideh, chovaso. So our mayor says, basically, even if you use your own words, you're Yotze, b'dieved. Rabbi Yotze says, no, if you change the format, even if you have the basic idea, you change the matbeya, then you're not Yotze. Name of Hunan Amakar Yotze, Yochanan Amakar Meir. So isn't this just Machok Sanaim? Saying Shahakol and bread is also a Shinoi Matbeya. So why don't we say that Rav Huna is Rav Yosef, who says Shinoi Matbeya is a problem, Rav Yochanan is Rav Meir. Interestingly, Tosfos asks the question, why, according to this Havamina, Shahakol and bread is a Shinoi Matbeya, just like making up your own words. Shahakol and apples is not a Shinoi Matbeya, right? That's clear. Everyone, that's a Mishnah. So why Shahakol and bread is Shinoi Matbeya and Shahakol and apples not a Shinoi Matbeya? Tulsa gives a very unclear answer, which the Pnei Yeshua B'dochet, I don't accept it, says it's not meant as an answer. He says, even Rabbi Yossi only says, Baruch HaMakom, which is not a brach at all, is a Shina Matbeah, but Shahakol on apples and cucumbers is not a Shina Matbeah. It's not exactly what Tulsa is trying to say. L'chor, what he's trying to say is what the Pnei Yeshua says in the end. What the Rishash says Tulsa is trying to say, basically the Pnei Yeshua and Rishash have shot at Tulsa. The only difference is, the Rishash says it's found in Tosos. Pnei Yeshua says, Tosos is just talking about irrelevant things. And I'm giving you my own shot, but that's found in Tosos. What Tosos means to say is that making up your own words, Hashina Matbeya, saying a general bracha on a specific food is Shina Matbeya, because Shahakal, Ha'itzan, Adam are general brachos. Hamotzi and Hagafen are specific brachos. Right? Hamotzi and Hagafen are only one species. Shahakol, Hadam, and Ha'etz are whole big classes of hundreds of types of species. So, therefore, the assumption of this Havamin is that it's called a Shinoi Matbeya to either make up your own words or to say a general bracha instead of a specific bracha, to move from general to specific. But of course, moving from general to general is not Shinoi Matbeya. Everyone agrees with you. Say that's the Havamina. What is the Maskana? The Gemara says, nope. Two totally different machlokos, nothing to do with each other. Amar lachav huna, anadabri filo of meir, akan lachav meir, hasam el hechad kamatkish made it possible. Hechad lachav matkish made it possible, or meir moder, rabbi yochan amar lach, anadabri filo of yosi, akan lachav of yosi, hasam el mishun dagar brachel, zakina rabbanan, val amar shahakol, niabedvar, zakina rabbanan, filo of yosi, moder. They say, no, it's a totally different machlokos. This is a machlokos about saying the wrong bracha, that's a machlokos about saying the right bracha, using the wrong words. That's basically what they're saying. Rav Huna says, no. Everyone, they're only arguing if you say pas, right? Kamano pasu. You say lechem with the wrong words. That's their machlokas. But if you don't say lechem, you say shakol, everyone agrees you're not modeh. Rav Huna says, no. They're only arguing if you said the wrong words, which Chazal never made in the first place. But if you say shahakol, which the bracha Chazal made in the first place, then everyone agrees you're guilty. Okay. Now I want to talk about what's the svara? The svara of Rav Yochanan is, okay, that's the second half of the Makorah sheet. but who we paskin like. But what's the svara of Rav Huna? Right? The svara of Yochanan said everything's Yotze, shakol and everything. Okay, we still have to figure out, like, and what about everything else and everything? You know, what's his rule? But how about Rav Huna? Rav Huna thinks you're Yotze with shakol on ha'etz and hadama, but not on hagofen and hamotzi. Why? Why are Hagafen and Hamotzi special according to Rav Huna? So, excuse me, the Rishash here says, the Rishash throws in a line. He doesn't really give away too much, I must admit. But says the Rishash here, he gives you a nice shot in Tosos. He says, here we are. Because Bori Pri Eitz and Adama are a bracha klolis, and Bori Pri Agafen and Hamotzi are a bracha pratis. Because you're switching from a bracha pratis to a bracha klolis. I'm not convinced that that is really switching from a bracha pratis to a bracha klolis, a bracha pratis and a bracha klolis. Are two different sugim of bracha, And therefore, he thinks it's ma'akev if you switch. Like the ikr, they mean kolus and pratis. You want to say the wrong kolus, that's fine. As long as it's true, meaning hadaman ha'etz v'paskin is true, shahakol and everything is obviously true, everything is shahakol, even etzim grow from the ground v'paskin, maybe like Rabbi Yehuda, that's fine. But if you want to switch kolus for pratis, that's no good. Okay, why? You know, we're not exactly sure. The Pnei Yoshua gives a much more common sense hesber. Says the Pnei Yoshua, he says, let's go back to Lamed Hayam and Beis. He says, what's unique about Hamotzi and Hagafen? They have a, what's his lashon? Hana'ah Hashiva Tuva. Hana'ah Hashuva Ma'od. Not just a big Hana'ah, they have a very big Hana'ah. I mean, all food gives you nutrition and tastes good. But what's unique about bread?
Said,
what?
Super
Sa'id, right. And what's unique about wine? Sa'id also, and the sameach. And bread is sa'id, you're coming to Suda. So these are a higher level of hana. For a high, basically what he's saying is that fruits and vegetables and shahakol are all giving you a regular level of hana. It's just nice to have different brachos. Why is it nice to have different brachos? Remember, one day it was because of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. We saw in a few Rishonim and in the Beis Ephraim. And the Pnei Yeshua's day is, because of Shalom Ham and Alpha Mitzvah Tluyos Ba'aretz. I would have continued and said the bread is also a unique mitzvah of Tluyos Ba'aretz, of challah, etc. And the wine also has been a unique mitzvah of Tluyos Ba'aretz of Kerem Ravai. He doesn't go that way. He says those differences in the other brachos are just differences in generalities because of mitzvah of Tluyos Ba'aretz, because of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. This is really because it's chashiva tuva. The food is so chashav that you need a higher level of. So what's the svara? Of Rav Huna says the Pnei Yoshua, it's Hana'a Chashuva Me'od, if I can translate it into Hebrew, Chashiva Tuva. It's such a big Hana'a, and therefore you can't say Hashem thanks for a small Hana'a when you get a big Hana'a. That's Ma'akev. It's Ma'akev to thank Hashem for less than Hana'a you have. The Hana'a of everything else is equal. Ha'etz Hadam Shahakol Hana'a is equal. I don't mean equal, like exactly, you know, equal as far as we're concerned, as far as our categories. You know, more or less the same. But these are, and therefore we understand the svara, right? And you're not yotze if you thank Hashem for a small hana'a when you get a big hana'ah. Okay, that we understand. The Pnei Yoshua. You're not the yotze if you. And I assume that's also that maybe that's what their shash had in mind. These are specific brachos. Those are general brachos. Why are these specific brachos those general brachos? Just like stam. You know, I don't want to put them as a reason. Oh, because those are specific. Those are general. Like, why are these specific? Those are general. Because it has a special hana'ah more than anything else. Okay, that's the Pnei Yoshua. Rashi here, however, says something funny. Rashi surprises us. Were you not surprised by Rashi? Says Tap Rashi, chutz v'napasmin ayayin, k'damrin l'kama, like we see later on, shagorein brachos harbe le'atzmo. Because they cause a lot of brachos. It causes a lot of brachos. B'kiddush v'adol brachos l'sanim. Of course Hagafen is different. First of all, what's strange about Rashi? He only talks about wine. He doesn't talk about bread at all. Meaning, he had the same word we had, talking about pas and yayin. Right? He skips bread, only talking about wine. Why does he only talk about wine? Because he's quoting the Gemara from a daf and a half later, which is only about wine. But that's not really a good excuse. Right? So, he says, because the Gemara, daf and a half later, says, wine is goring bracha la'atzmo. Meaning, you say hagafen lots more than everything else. Ha'etz you only say if you're in the mood to eat an apple, right? Hadami you only say if you're in the mood to eat a cucumber. Shakel you only say if you're in the mood to drink some Coca-Cola. But hagafen you say because you have mitzvos to do, like Kiddush and Abdallah and Sheva Brachos. Okay, so Where does he get that from? He gets that from the Gemara on the top Mem Beis Amud Aleph, coming from the end of Mem Aleph and Beis. The Gemara asks, "Ihachi Yainam Niftri Pas." Not everyone knows this halacha, but hopefully now everyone does. If you're in the middle, the truth is not a Rishona in this halacha. The halacha is Rishona. This is how we pass. And Tosfos already brings down two days, and the Rishona Sfarad have a big suffix about this. But if you're set hamotzi on a meal, you potter all the drinks you drink within the meal. That's considered part of the meal, except for wine. Wine you have to say a guffin. Okay, so if you meet Kiddush and you already said a guffin beforehand, then you're yotzei. But let us say that we stop serve wine at a meal because it's a fancy meal, and I have to say I don't say a guffin on the other drinks. I have to say a guffin on the wine. Let us say at Kiddush, I was yotzei with the Baal Bayis Kiddush and I didn't drink any wine. Then I was yotzei in the mitzvah of Kiddush, but I wasn't yotzei in the mitzvah of Nanin of Hagafen because I didn't drink wine. And then I have to make another Hagafen during the meal. Again, would Rashi agree with the last sentence I said? I don't know, but that's how we pass it. Now, and what does it mean? The Gemara says one thing. Gorin bracha la'atzmo. You have to say Hagafen on wine during your meal to Gorin bracha la'atzmo. No one has any idea what that means because it sounds like circular logic. Oh, you have to say a guffin because it needs a bracha. So it obviously means something else. And there are three main deus in the Mefarshim what it means. Maybe it means drinks are different than foods and also say bracha and kol tola. We're not up to that yet. Maybe it means it's just very, very chashuv. Goren bracha l'atmo means it has its own bracha different than other fruit juices because it's so chashuv. Okay, that makes sense. It's so chashuv. It's not potter with pas. But Rashi, there is a das yachid. Rashi has a das yachid, to the best of my knowledge, Ben Beis Amud Aleph says, Goren bracha l'atzmo, ekot b'chama mekomo, suba, umuvarchan l'avyapish lo'ytrichan l'shdiyaso. Many times you say hagafen, even though you weren't interested in drinking wine. It's very common to say hagafen when you're not in the mood to drink wine. Why? Because the mitzvah says, it says here, kiddush, havdala, birkus chasan, and we can add kahena ve'kahena. What do you mean?
And if you want to drink wine.
Aha, okay. So, now, the question is, what Ma'in and Shemitah eats El Har Sinai? How do you say that in English? What does it have to do with the price of tea in China, right? That's what they said when we grew up. The fact that Hagafen, you say on Kiddush and the fact that you say for mitzvahs when you're not interested in drinking, what does that have to do with why you should say Hagafen during a meal on Daf Mem Beis? And according to Huda, what does that do with the fact that you're not yotzei when you say shahakol? It's not intuitive what that means. And Bedochak maybe could say, oh, Rashi really means the same thing as Yeshua. He means it's a really, really, really chush of big hana'ah. No. The Igoi Milsa that's so chush of big hana'ah is that we use it for Kiddush. You only use super great things for Kiddush. But that seems to be going a little far to me. To me, that seems to be going a little far. Like, really? The best way Rashi could find to say that it's very chashuv is that you use it for Kiddush. The best way Rashi could find to say that it's sure is to use it for Kiddush. If it was just Rashi and Mem Beis, I would say, you know what? Let's not say Kiddushim. It said Gorin Bracha La'atmo. Rashi was desperate to find something about a Bracha La'atmo. The only Bracha he could think of was Kiddush. So he meant it's super duper chashuv and a tremendous hana'ah. And the way he expressed it is, after all, we only use super chashuv things for Kiddush. Maybe. But in Daf Mem and Beis, which doesn't use the words bracha l'atzmo at all, Rashi didn't have to tie anything else, and it also uses bread, and clearly is not referring to those things. I really don't see if Rashi really just meant it's a really, really good chashuv food. I don't think this is how he should have expressed himself. He should have just said, quoted the Gemara earlier, it's Misad Sa'id, quoted the Gemara of Misamech Elokim, Va'anashim, quoted, et cetera. So it's very strange. I don't know if in the Masifta anyone wants to say Rashi doesn't really mean it. Good, Baruch Hashem. Okay, so Rashi seems to mean something strange, and it's funny, so he only does half. He only explains that guffing, because that's on Daf Mem Beis. But that's not a good excuse. Meaning, Adrava. Maybe that's why he shouldn't have said this, because why refer to something that's only about Hagafen? So says Rashi, he says, no, it means Goreim Bracha Li'atzmo B'Kiddush Havdalah V'Chulei. Question is, what does this mean? What is going on in Rashi? And the Rav points out here that maybe this is Rashi Lushitase in a very, very fundamental hakira about the nature of bracha alakos. Right? Everyone knows in Kiddush. It's an interesting lumdish question. Right? It's one of these cases where like everyone knows something in kindergarten and then you discover that conceptually it's not true and then the rabbi says, no, it is. This happens a few times. It says, what's Kiddush? Kiddush is Bori Priya Gafen and Asher Kishan Mitzvos of Rotsa Vanu .. Mekadosh HaShabbos. That's Kiddush. And then you grow up and you learn, no. Kiddush is just the second bracha. Just you have to say Kiddush al Kos, and say Kiddush al Kos, you have to drink the Kos. And just before you drink the Kos, you have to say Hagafen, because you're not allowed to drink without a bracha. But the Hagafen is just technically there. It's not actually part of Kiddush. The Haraya says the Magen Avraham or Mishnah Berurah, whoever I put on the cover sheet. Let's say this happens in my house all the time. Let's say someone walks in and they miss the Hagafen. Right? They walk into the house late. They miss the Hagafen. They just catch, Amav doing Kodesh Lachol, or they just catch Shem Yishan Mitzvos of Ratzav Vanu of Kiddush. Right? This is always, right? This is how you can tell. You want to know how you can prove I don't have Ruach HaKodesh? If it wasn't a good svar, that every night we sit through the same cheshbonos. Should we wait for Kiddush for all the kids to show up from their various chesed missions, whatever, or should we not? Whatever. It's a thing growing up in Eretz Yisrael that you always have to do chesed. So of course it can't be normal to come home to Shul Friday. No, he has to go and like make Kiddush for like a disabled person and this and that and all kinds of youth group activities. So the cheshbon is, okay, do we wait? Is he going to come in 3 seconds? Is he going to come in half an hour? Is, you never know, who's he hanging out with, et cetera. So more often than would be true if I had Ruach HaKodesh, I said, okay, I give up. I say, Baruch Priya Gafen, my son walks in. So is he Yotzei Kiddush or not? So said, Rav, is Yotzei Kiddush. What do you mean? The Hagafen was just technically in order to drink the wine. But if he heard the bracha of Kiddush, he was Yotzei Kiddush. And if I mean, he can't drink the wine. Obviously, he can't drink the wine without another Hagafen, but it's Yotzei Kiddush.
The Magen Avraham only said by Abdullah, he didn't say by Kiddush.
Oh, okay. That's because you read the Rav that was in brackets. Was I know you didn't read anything.
Rav Lipson told us that the Sefer Apartheid, the Talmud of Rashi,
There are two Sefer Apartheid.
Well, there are different part of the Talmud of Rashi, and I think it was the Sefer Apartheid.
Okay, there's just another Sefer Apartheid, which is Dafkin Hilchos Brachos. Okay, but this Abdullah, what did the Sefer Apartheid of Rashi say?
That you didn't hear Abdullah Priyad often by Kiddush, you're not Yotzei. Only by Kiddush.
Okay. So let's hold that thought. That's going to ruin all this one. That's what the Rav says in the Rishimus on Sukkah. Not what the Rav says in the Rishimus and Brachos.
He says the name of the Grach, but it's a revolution, not a priest.
Really? Okay, cool. Sefer Apartheid of Rashi. Okay, I have to check that out. And again, I have to check if it's the right Sefer Apartheid.
If I got it right, too.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, Kitzer, but let's stick with what we have now. Interesting question. And Rav Chaim said, nope, you have to say... you have to say Kiddush again. Sorry, he's not Yotzei, he has to say his own Kiddush. Okay, what's going on here? This all comes down to a Rashi. Coincidentally, or maybe not. Rashi and Ervin says something that shook the world. Says Rashi and Ervin, the Gemara and Ervin is wondering whether you should say Shechiyanu on a kos on Yom Kippur. Every other Chag we say Shechiyanu on a kos in Kiddush. On Yom Kippur, should we say Shechiyanu on a kos or not? And the Gemara decides, nope, you actually don't need a kos for Shechiyanu. Even on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, you could just stand in the middle of the street and say Shechiyanu if you want. It's nice to put all the brachas together in Kiddush, but really Shechiyanu doesn't need a kos. But in the Shachar Tarya, the Gemara says, and hold on a second, how could we say Shechiyanu on a kos on Yom Kippur? Who's going to drink the kos? They say, well, maybe give it to a kid who's not too young to fast. And the Gemara says, no, Dama Asi L'Misrach, you can't give it to a kid on Yom Kippur, because then when he grows up, he might still think that you're allowed to drink the kos of Shechiyanu on Yom Kippur, and he'll do an Aveira. Okay, Rashi Agav, in the middle of that whole Shachar Tarya, in Erevin, about Shechiyanu ala kos on Yom Kippur, says Rashi some words that shook the world. Says Rashi, One second. And yes. Says Rashi, why does someone have to drink the kos? Says Rashi, you know why? The time amishem dignayu the koshal brach lo yehana adam yehana lo alter shei bir kazayayim the bir bor priya gafen shalol tzorach. It's a gnai for a koshal brach that no one should drink it right away. I guess lafuke don't save it till after Yom Kippur. And then the bor priya gafen won't be for any tzorach of drinking. It's a gnai. Meaning it's a gnai to say bor priya gafen on a koshal bracha and not drink it. And therefore you give it to a kid. So everyone made a deal here. Who's the first everyone who? Okay, if we go out of historical order, just Rav Yosef Engel. He's certainly not his 20th century. He's certainly not the first to do anything, but he's just right there on the daf. He jumps on Rashi very succinctly and says, "Tzarkin loshin kanai iser gomer yish po mishum brachel batola to over alosisa." Okay, we'll have to see exactly what he means by alosisa, but he says, what do you mean it's a gnai to not drink the wine after you say a guffin and a koshel bracha? It's an isser bracha levatala. You said bracha guffin, you didn't drink anything. What does Rashi mean by gnai? So, he points out, this is a famous machlokas rishonim and poskim ad hayom hazeh. The Ravan right there quotes Rashi and Erevin right there. The Ravan is worried about something else. He says, what do you do? The Gemara decided Shechiyana doesn't need a kos anyway, no big deal. But everyone knows Bris Mila needs a kos. You ever been to Bris Mila? And then, Asher Kidashi did me bet, and Mechot Beshirosav, the Chuli, Baruch Hashem Koreis HaBris. That's like Berkus Chasanim, it's like Kiddush and Abdullah. What do you do in a Bris Mila what do you do in a Bris Mila on Yom Kippur? Interestingly, there were some Rishonim who said, just like give it to an 8-year-old kid. I'll see the Mizrach when he grows up. Nah, Bris Mila Yom Kippur is only once every couple of years. He won't remember it till he grows up. It's a very uncommon occurrence. Okay, no one passing like that in the Shulchan Aruch. There are only two other options in the Shulchan Aruch. Send the Ravan, no problem. Give the wine to the baby, to the 8-year-old baby, to the Rachanimo. Give the wine to the baby. Give the wine to the baby. How is giving the wine to the baby good enough? The baby's not Yelachinach. The baby doesn't say brachas, etc. He says, no, look what Rashi says. Rashi says the only reason someone needs to drink the wine is because of Gnai. Now, I admit he's taking Rashi a little further from Rashi himself. I might say, no, it's Gnai if someone who wouldn't normally make a brachas doesn't drink the wine. He says only because of Gnai, and since it's only because of Gnai, therefore, if you give the wine to the tinok, there's no gnai anymore. And what does the Ran say back to this? The Ran doesn't know the Ravan, right? The Ran didn't have a copy of the Ravan. and obviously, Ravan says, and don't worry about Asi L'Misrach. When he grows up, he's not going to think he can drink wine in Yom Kippur. Trust me, he won't remember what happened when he was 8 days old. And he asks, Ma'i chashuva ti'ima zu? It's only for gnai. It's a gnai to say a guffin and not drink. If you give it to the baby, it's not a gnai anymore. Halachically, the baby has nothing to do with this bracha of a guffin, right? But it's not a gnai. The Shutran had someone who basically fought like the Ravan. We don't know who he was. The guy threw in a different story there also. He says, maybe like the Tinuch Sin Rechoyiv Dover says Bris. But that's not a strong Svara. He says, Nirul Chomeril Rashi. Quoted Rashi, says maybe it's good enough to give the wine to the Tinuch. Because the Rashi is just to avoid Gnai. And the Ran said, Chas V'Sholom, no way. And he quotes in the Rashba. The Ran says even Rashi didn't really need it. Although no one can figure out exactly how to read Rashi the way the Ran is suggesting. I don't know how it fits in the words of Rashi, but the Ran says, of course, no one could have meant that. The Ran quotes in the Rashba that when it says to give to a kid, it means a kid who got to the age of chinuch and is chayim bor priya gafen. And then he quotes this part of Rashi is true, that Rashi points out that you're allowed to make a bracha for your kids who got to the age of chinuch to mechanik them in brachos. So, says the Ran, based on the Rashba, he says, avada, you can only say a gafen and give it to a kid who's reached the age of chinuch. Because then it's not a bracha levatala. The kid is chayiv in brachos al tzchinuch, and al tzchinuch you have to say it for him. But otherwise, it's a bracha lebatala, as he says. It's her gummer if the baby drinks it. Right? It's an avera of bracha lebatala. So what's the machlokas here? So says already the base mayor, even before the Rav. He says the machlokas is... the Rav says it a little different, just to be fair. The machlokas is what is the bracha of Hagafen in a koshel bracha? The Ran and the Rashba are assuming that the bracha of Hagafen is just a regular Birkas Hananin. It's a regular Birkas Hananin. If it's a regular Birkas Hananin, then I can only say a Birkas Hananin if I drink. Or if someone who's chayim and Birkas Hananin drinks, and I'm motzi them. And then you get all the rules. When can I be motzi someone else's Birkas Hananin? And okay, as Rashi points out, it's qualifying to be mechanic the kid. I can say a Birkas Hananin for him. The Ran and the Rashba say it's a regular Birkas Hananin. While Rashi and the Ravan, and whoever the Shol is in Shodaran, obviously thinks that the base mirror it's not a regular Birkas Hananin. Obviously, it's not a regular Birkas Hananin. If it's a regular Birkas Hananin, everyone knows that I can't say Shahakol. Everyone knows that I can't say Shahakol on a bottle of formula and then give it to an 8-day-old baby. Say, it's not a bracha batala. So Shahakol, give it to the baby. Of course, that's a bracha batala. The baby's not at the age of chinuch for brachas yet. So the poshest thing in the world is a bracha batala. So why can I say Hagafen at the Bris and Yom Kippur and give it to an 8-day-old baby? Because that's not a regular Birkas Hananin. That is part of the special bracha of the Bris.
Okay, I'll clarify that in a moment.
That's the main chakira. By the way, Ad Hayom Hazeh, what do we do if there's a Bris and Yom Kippur? The answer is... Who's we, Kimosabi? Answer is, it depends who we is. If we is the Mechaber in Hilchos Yom Kippur, who follows the Ran and the Rashba, the Mechaber says, no, you just don't say Bur, you don't have a kos. Bidyevet and Yom Kippur, you say the Brachos without a kos, because what can you do? There's no solution. You can't give it to an 8-year-old kid, because then Asi L'Misrach will come to think you can drink ritual wine on Yom Kippur. You can't give it to an 8-year-old baby, because it's Brachos Atala, and so nothing you could do. And the Ramah says, following Rashi and Ramban, Menegashkenaz, the Ramah says we give it to the 8-day-old baby. So yes, most of us in this room, maybe even all of us in this room, we would give it to the 8-year-old baby, but not all Yidden would do so.
We got very lucky this year, / not lucky. Someone passed out during the bris. Bris on Yom Kippur, so they gave him a line.
Interesting. Okay. You understand how that didn't make it into the Shulchan Aruch. I hope they're okay now.
Yes. Well, they hit me on the way there.
I hope you're okay now. Okay, the sacrifices we make for Torah. Mesiras Nefesh. So that is really the fundamental Hakira. And then the Beis Meir starts again technically says, the Beis Yosef quoted this, giving to the baby from the Kolbo. The Beis Yosef says, ridiculous. He says, what do you mean? Don't you know it's a Ravan, one of the earliest of all the Rishonim? And don't you know it's a Rashi and Avada, the Ashkenazim are right, etc. And he points out that I don't know if you tried harder than I did. The Ran says Rashi never meant it, and what exactly did Rashi mean? Parts of the Ran, he says, I can't figure it out. Rashi really seems to have meant like the Ravan, and already you can see where we're going with this. If Rashi has a special sheet in Erevin Bekoshel Bracha, it's not coincidence that Rashi has a special sheet in Brachos about Koshel Bracha, says the Rav. But let's put this on the board. What's the nature? Oh, I just saw a nice machlokas, which is not on the cover sheet, but I'll tell you anyway. I'll tell you anyway. It does tie in a little to the Ritva. Maybe I'll wait for the Ritva. what's the Hagafen on Kos Shel Bracha? One pshat is it's a regular birkas
hananin.
It's a regular birkas hananin. Then what's the idea of koshal bracha? The idea of what's the Seder Hadvarim? The Seder Hadvarim, I don't mean the chronological. I mean the logical Seder Hadvarim. Logical order, not chronological. You know, Machlok is what the chronological order is. You say Agafen, you say Kiddush, and you drink. Is that?
That's the Machlok of the Hilbechand.
Okay, but we're beyond that by now. We've moved on. By the way, you might, some of this might be familiar from where Schechter came and gave the shiur. He discussed that aspect, but I'm not going to touch on that now. I don't want to repeat everything he said. Just what's relevant for our sugya is that you have to say Kiddush. In order to say Kiddush, you have to drink the wine because it needs to be alakos. Alakos means drinking. How do we know alakos means drinking? Because there are a bunch of halachos that are said about kosher bracha, and one is that you have to drink it. Since you have to drink the wine, what do you have to do? You have to say Hagafen, because you can't drink wine without a Hagafen. That is one derech. However, that's not what Rashi's saying, right? Because then the reason you have to drink the wine is, that's not what Rashi's saying for two reasons. A, then the reason you have to, Rashi says you drink the wine for Gnai. No, according to this scheme, you have to drink the wine because that's how to do a koshel bracha, and also because once you send a guffin, it would be a bracha latala. But what does Rashi say? Is that it's not a birkas hananin. It is a special birkas hashevach. I would go so far as to say it's part of Kiddush. Meaning maybe what you learned in kindergarten is right. It's not just a birkas hananin. It's a special birkas hashevach as part of Kiddush. Okay, you could take that apart a little, maybe we will soon. But, and then what's the Seder Varam? You have to say Kiddush. As part of saying Kiddush, you have to say Hagafen, or Hagafen for us. You gotta keep track, right? We say Hagafen, and maybe don't eat papaya, and give the wine to the Tinoch at a bris milah. If you say Hagafen, then you say Hagafen, and not at a bris milah and Yom Kippur and eat papaya afterwards. So the say hagefen, and once you say hagefen, therefore you have to drink the wine. Why do you have to drink the wine? Ah, because once you say hagefen, you have to drink the wine because of gnai. Right? Because otherwise it's gnai. Two totally different ways of understanding what Borei Pri HaGafen is. Is Borei Pri HaGafen coincidental, technical, or is Borei Pri HaGafen fundamentally part of the bracha? Here, is this just technical? Is it a technical appendage? Or is it a fundamental part of the bracha? One nafkamina Rashi says here is nafkamina. What about shtias tinok hanimol? Is that good enough? Says the Ran and the Rashba and the Mechaber. If you would look in Hilchos Yom Kippur, some in Tafresh Chaf Aleph, which is not in the Korshi, but it's in the Shulchan Aruch, which is almost as good, he says, no. It's a bracha levatala unless a katan shehigia lechinuch drinks. And he wants to say that's even what Rashi says. Rashi does quote him more in Roshan about making a bracha for a katan shehigia lechinuch. The only problem is that it doesn't really work in all the lines of Rashi. That's why Rav Moshe even gets to a point, I think Rav Moshe says, yeah, it's hard to understand all the words of this Rashi.
So according to the first stance, Birkas Hananin, you have to have a reason why to say Birkas Hananin, I guess, in the flow. Maybe it's because of Enkidus or Mokasuda.
What?
According to the first...
You have to say Hagefen because you're going to drink the wine. You can't drink without a bracha.
No, but if it's not part of Kiddush, why do you have to...
It's part of Kiddush to drink the wine. Because kosher bracha needs
the
ima.
You have to make the bracha ala kos.
You have to make the bracha ala kos, and ala kos means drinking the kos. And why do you say agafen? Because aser lehanos min ha'olam hazeh, as they say, lo bracha, right? Meaning it's just a regular dinner bigger than any. Okay, as opposed to the Ravan and the Rama, who say no. Even shtias tino hanimol is enough to prevent Kanai. Can I promise you Rashi would have agreed? No. Maybe Rashi says only a shtia of a tinok who understands brachos is enough to prevent Kanai. Okay, but what they say was just Kanai. As long as someone's drinking, it's not Kanai. Why is it not a brachol atal? It's not a brachol atal because it's not a birkas hanedin.
Can we even suggest that maybe within Rashi is a birkas hanedin, or it's just Rashi when she tells us that the nature of birkas hanedin is that it's a shema of bodah lakam brachol?
No, because then it's still a brachol atal to make a birkas hanedin and not drink. Meaning, whatever Rashi says a birkas hanedin, he admits, if I say barber eats and I don't eat the apple, it's a brachol atal. So I don't think you can go that far. Although, let me think about it, but the way you said it, I think we're going too far. Let me throw out another interesting nafkamina that I just, that I thought could be relevant. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Tes, which says, by Birkas HaMitzvos, Yatza Motzi. Even if I said it already for myself, I can say it for you. By Birkas HaNenin, there's no Yatza Motzi. If I already said it myself, I can't say it again for you. Meaning, Birkas HaMitzvos, what's an example? I don't want to use that. Example yet. Yeah, Al Mikra Megillah, even if I was already Yotze Megillah once and I go to link for you, I can still say Al Mikra Megillah again for you because Kol Yisrael Rim Zevazeh, and I'm still Mechoyev Dover. But Hamotzi, if I already said Hamotzi and then you show up for dinner, I can't say Hamotzi again for you because I was already Yotzer for myself and I have no right to say it again for you because there's no Arvus because you don't have to eat, so you don't have to say Hamotzi. Pashtus. The Gemara says there's two exceptions. Sometimes Birkas HaNenin, I can say for you Yotza Motzi even if I was Yotze already. Or for that matter, even if I'm not being Yotze at all. The one is Hagafen of Kiddush, and the other is Hamotzi v'achilas matzah. But let's say that I go from Kiddush. Even if I already made Kiddush, I can go to your house to make Kiddush for you and say Hagafen for you to drink and say Kiddush, even though I don't need the Hagafen, or if you come in late, I can make Kiddush again for you, even if I already said Hagafen, because I can say it for you. So why is that? Why is the Hagafen of Kiddush different? So here we have a fascinating hakira. There aren't like this hakira. We don't have Rishimus or Roshana, but I'm sure it's someplace, somewhere. Why is Hagafen of Kiddush different than Yotza Motzi? I can say for you, even if I was Yotzi already.
That the Mapo Kepta Bala Moiner and Ban is beginning talking about Poris Mapo and Kaddish, that's the same Machlosis. Whether I can make the verse break up and again.
You don't mean the same machlokas, you mean a related machlokas. Okay. So let me get to it. It's on the Makor sheet. I'm not about more than Ramban, but Achronim would deal with it. I just didn't want to bring everyone. But you're absolutely right. It's the famous about more than Ramban. But here's an interesting question. What about Hadama of Karpas? If I already said Hadama and ate Karpas, can I say Hadama again for you? Interesting question, no? What about Hadama of Karpas? Is that not an interesting question? I already said Hadama and ate Karpas, and you didn't hear. You were in the bathroom. You show up and say, oh, I missed Karpas, so can I say Hadama again for you? Do we say, on the one hand, do we say it's like the Hagafen of Kiddush? Because it's like the Hagafen of Kiddush. Because it's a chiyuv, not a rishos. And whenever something's a chiyuv, therefore I can say it for you, Yotza Motzi. Or do we say, no, Hagafen of Kiddush is special. Hadama of Karpas is not special. Why would Hagafen of Kiddush be special? Because Hagafen of Kiddush is not a regular birkas hanedin. Hadama of Karpas is a regular birkas hanedin. Hadama of Karpas is a regular Birchus Hanan that you have to, you incidentally have to say because of the Seder. That's basically the fact. Let me throw in this hakira here, even though it's a little premature, just because, you know, the Gemara says always chav if something to do that wasn't on the Korah sheet. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah Chaf Tes Amud Aleph, if I recall correctly, says Yatza Motzi only by Hagafen of Kiddush. I know there's one more exception. I'll add, and not other Birkos Hananin. So, what about, this is not a new enough to me, it's the same, what about Hadama of Karpas? Ooh, I should have, okay. What about Hadama of Karpas? So, one shot is that Hagafen of Kiddush is a regular Birkos Hananin. So, what makes it special? The rule is that an obligatory bracha, we say Yatza Motzi. An optional bracha, we say Yatza Eino Motzi. That is, let's call it the conventional wisdom, in which case Hadama of Karpa, since it's obligatory, therefore Yatza Motzi. And I could say Hadama of Karpas for you, even though I said it for myself. Because whatever's obligatory is Yatza Motzi, because Kol Yishmael Rav Zevazeh. There's no Kol Yishmael Rav Zevazeh for me to say Ha'itz when you eat an apple. You don't have to eat an apple. I'm not an Ari if you eat an apple. But you have to eat Karpas. Every Jew has to eat Karpas. And therefore, I can't say a Dover for you. But according to Rashi, you could say a different shot. And this is Machlokas Rishonim. I'm sorry, I forgot to write down who says what. It's Machlokas in the postkin. He says, no, the rule is that Birkas Hananin Yatza Eino Motzi, but Birkas HaMitzvah Yatza Motzi, and Hagefen of Kiddush is Birkas HaMitzvah, not Birkas Hananin. According to Rashi, the difference between Hagefen of Kiddush and other Birkas Hananin is not whether it's necessary, is what the Mahus Lebracha is. Hagafen of Kiddush is different. That's a Birkas HaMitzvah. That's not a Birkas Hananin. And therefore, what would come out of that is that since Hadam of Karpas is a regular Birkas Hananin, there's no room for Hakira, whether Hadam of Karpas becomes something fancy new halos. Hadam of Karpas is clearly just a regular Birkas Hananin, which you technically need because you're about to eat Karpas. There's a regular Birkas Hananin, and therefore, for sure, Yatza Eino Motzi. This would be, but it's a indirect nafmina. The nafmina of this Hakira is how to read the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Is Hagefen of Kiddush special because it's necessary, technically? Or is it special because it's a different kind of bracha? If it's special, it's necessary technically. Hadam of Karpas is also necessary technically. If it's special because it's a different kind of bracha, Hadam of Karpas is not a different kind of bracha. Great nafkamina. The other interesting discussion, which Rav Moshe discusses fascinatingly, which is the same as the, really the same as the Ravan. He says, what if you're a Sadduk Kedushin and the Chassan and Kala don't have in mind to be Yotze with the Hagafen? Is it a Bracha Levatala? Right? We're not talking here about Safek Reb Chaim Masoris. Right? I'm Sadduk Kedushin. I say Baruch Hagafen and the Chassan and Kala drink. And then I call some Mechubed guy up for the first Bracha. You're a Mechubed looking guy. I call you up for the first Bracha. And you say Hagafen. And you don't drink anything. Six brachas later, the chassan, you go sit down. Six brachas later, the chassan kala drink. What if the chassan kala were meratzim and didn't have in mind to be yotzei the bracha of hagafen? Did you make a bracha latala? Nafkamina, he says, in his days, all the chassan kalas were meratzim gurim. They weren't shomer Shabbos and they didn't know anything about anything, etc. Remember, this he was writing this before Jewish education in America. So, is the rabbi saying a bracha latala? So he also wants to stretch maybe and say, okay, now the Chassan Kala doing that favor and wants to think that also. So he says, that depends on this Ravan versus the Ran. And therefore he says, for Sfardim, the rabbi would be saying a bracha latala, because for Sfardim it's a regular Birkas Hananim, and a regular Birkas Hananim. If you don't drink, and that guy doesn't have in mind to drink, then it's a bracha latala. But luckily we're Ashkenazim, and we paskin like the Ravad, like Rashi, and Avad, it's not a normal Birkas Hananim. No, it's a special part of the bracha. It's a Birkas HaMitzvah. And therefore, your Yotze, you'd be Yotze even if no one drinks, it would just be Gnai. Okay, so if they didn't have a mind to be able to their guffin and drink anyway, then it's not a gnai, you're fine. Okay, whether they're fine, he has to stretch a little more, figure out how they get around being man of an olm zevlo bracha, but he wants to find a hatzdaka for them also. That's promotion. This is basically the same as the Tino Kanimal, right? It's basically, what's the difference of the Tino Kanimal drinks? It's the same nafkamina, just different hechitimtsi. And he's not chayiv in brachos, or the chasen kala drink, and didn't have a mind to be yotzei the brachos. That's just, it's a cute case. That's what Rav Moshe was talking about, not what originally talking about. He says, oh, okay, we got to go quick. How about if the chasen and kala lo niskavnu latzeis yedei birkas hagafen? Then, says Rav Moshe, that if you had it was a regular person, and then the mevarech avar al iser bracha levatala. But says Rav Moshe, because he says we follow the Ravan, there's no problem. It's fine, because after all, there's no guy, someone drank it in the end.
But they always drink. You're just wondering if they had kavanah to drink?
Yeah. No, if they had kavanah, you'll say the bracha lagafen. They hear the rabbi say a bracha, they don't have in mind the brachas for them.
What are they thinking or not thinking?
They're not thinking anything. Who says people think? Where do you come from? that's not what Moshe says. He says these people don't keep Shabbos. They don't know anything about halacha. They never said a bracha in their life. They don't know how these things work. I'm not talking about a yeshiva bachur chassan. So, Rav Moshe has another interesting thing, which, okay, well, let's get back to him. Let's get back to what the Rav says. He quotes an amazing, oh, I'm going to lose this. I should have had you take a picture of this. Okay, my bad. Take a picture of the board. It'll be video of it. I should have put this with the other board, because I'm going to have to erase it. Please take a picture of the board. How about Kiddush Rabbah? Okay, there's a lot of discussion about Kiddush Rabbah. Kiddush Rabbah. Interestingly, there's a lot of discussion about Kiddush Rabbah. What is Kiddush Rabbah? what is Kiddush Rabbah all about? What is Kiddush Rabbah all about? On Shabbos morning, all we say is Baruch Yagafen. Some of us say Pesukim. Probably all of us say some. Almost all of us say Pesukim beforehand. But that's a later minhag. Right? Just say Baruch Yagafen. How is Baruch Yagafen Kiddush? How is that Kiddush? What is Kiddush Rabbah all about? So the Rav says, no, this depends on this Chakira. If Baruch Pri Gafen is a regular Birkas Hananim, just that you need technically, then what is Kiddush Rabbah? You just say a regular Birkas Hananim that you technically need. And what makes that Kiddusha? How is that Kiddush? So the Rav says, that goes with the Meiri. Of course, the Rav never quoted the Meiri. He quoted the Meiri's influence, the regional influence, the Ravid. But what does the Meiri say? You know how it's Mekadesh? Because Kedusha means to have a fancy meal. And a fancy meal means with wine. You just drink wine. And of course, before you drink wine, you have to say Hagafen, says the Meiri. How is it Kiddush? You just said Hagafen. It's a fancy meal to have wine. Now, what does it mean, fancy meal to have wine? If I start the meal and bring wine later, I haven't started showing it's a fancy meal. So why do I have to make Kiddush before lunch on Shabbos? To show, before I start the real food, I'm going to drink wine to show this is a fancy meal, not a stam meal. This is not just a way to quell my hunger. This is a celebratory feast. How do I know it's a celebratory feast? Because before I even eat the bread, I already bring fancy stuff like wine. That is the Meiri. So it's not really Kiddush. It's just a fancy meal. And to have a fancy meal, you have to drink fancy stuff before the bread. If you want to have fancy stuff before the bread, you have to say a bracha. But what does the Rashbam say in Pesachim?
What the Gemara calls the Kiddush now.
The Gemara calls it, yeah, and he deals with why the Gemara calls it Kiddush, Seder, and these things happen. Right? What does it say? Avish Abram, so ain't no kiddush layom. Right? And there's no kedusha in this. But he says, you know what, since you have to do it, and it's connected to the kedusha of Shabbos, it's called kiddush. So it's not kiddush, it's called kiddush. Right? You can loosely call it kiddush. A lot of things we loosely call a lot of things. Right? It's loosely called kiddush. That's the nafkamina. Is it loosely called kiddush, or is it a real kiddush? But what does, this is a famous machlokas, is it loosely called kiddush, but it's just really a fancy meal, or is it real kiddush? Who is this a famous machlokas between? The Rambam and Raivad. And what nafkamina do they argue about?
Eating beforehand.
Whether or not to eat beforehand. The Rambam says it's real kiddush. You can't eat beforehand. In Perakov Tess. Halacha, wherever it was. Yud. It's real kiddush. You can't eat. The Rambam says, you were fooled by the word kiddush. What does that mean? Don't be fooled by the word kiddush. It's not really kiddush. It's called kiddush. Of course you can eat beforehand. What's the rive? The rive is like Meiri. It's just having a fancy suda, like the kibbutz suda alayayin. It's not kiddush. It's just having a fancy meal. To have a fancy meal, you need to show that it's fancy before the bread, by drinking the wine before the bread, and then you need to make a guffin. The Rambam says, no, it's really kiddush. By the way, it's pashat. The Rambam says, how do we know the Rambam thinks it's really kiddush and not just being koveya suda alayayin? Because the Rambam says even shalosh shuda seems to be koveya suda alayayin, but that's not kiddush. The Rambam is a very clear tzvei dinim, meaning in perek lamed, which is the perek of kavod va'oneg, he says all three meals you need to be koveya with wine to make it a fancy suda. In perek of tes, which is the perek of kiddush, he says there's kiddush at night and kiddush in the morning, and no kiddush shalosh shuda. Yeah, the tzvei dinim says, oh, you're right about shalosh shuda. And you're right, there's also kviyas suda al-yayin, but that's not what kedusha rava is. That's a tzvi dinim. All three meals you need kviyas suda al-yayin, only two meals you need kiddush. The rava would say two meals you need kviyas suda al-yayin, and one meal you need kiddush. Now, what's the basis of this machlokas? The basis of the machlokas is, why did the rava and the Meiri say it can't really be kiddush? Maybe because of what the ritual pointed out, that he quoted that they're rikor kosher, it's just a birkas hanenin. Meaning, where's the kiddush? It's just the technical birkas hanenin. Because you need to drink. So what's the Rambam going to say back? Luckily, Rashi didn't say anything, but what's the next best? His anicle did, right? Okay, Rashi left some work for his anicle. What does the Rashbam say right there in Pesachim? What did the Rashbam say? That Hagafen is a kiyum of Shira al-Hayayin. That's not just Birkas Hananin. We thought Shira al-Yayin meant with the Levim singing the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe the real brachas of Asher Kedishan was also Barat Zavano, Asher Kedashim didn't meet that then, Asher Bar Sassam Asimcha, that's Shira al-Yayin. Hagafen's a Shira al-Yayin. Hagafen's just regular Birkas Hananin. No, Hagafen itself is Shira al-Yayin. That's clearly the Rashbam. Where did he get this idea from? From his grandfather. And what's the Chaf of the Rav? Now we see the Rambam's on his team also. You got the word, right? So, the third nafkamina is Kiddusha, scare quotes Rabbah, right? Kiddusha Rabbah. According to, if Hagafen is a regular Birkas Hananin even at night, then Kolshkein is a regular Birkas Hananin in the morning. No, it's just a birkas hanenin bi'alma, which then means it's, so what's the point of saying birkas hanenin? There's no point. Remember, it's just a technical requirement drinking wine. You really, the real kiddush is not the bracha. The mitzvah is not hagafen, but drinking wine. Why is it a mitzvah to drink wine? Because of the chashivas of kviyas suda al hayayin. Remember, the Rambam would say, oh, I admit, I like that idea. That's for shal shuddis, though. Suda shniya has kiddush. And therefore, it's only technical, the ikkar, and therefore, it's not really kiddush. What does it mean? You say it's called kiddush because it's something you have to do, but it's not really kiddush. And the Ravid says, you were fooled by the word kiddush. Meaning, don't take the word kiddush too seriously. It's just an expression, not really kiddush. However, the Rambam says it is really kiddush. A, he says you can't eat beforehand because that's a real close kiddush. B, compare it to perek lamed, it's in the perek of kiddush, not the perek of kavod va'oneg. And even a shal should have seen you go to Sula Yayin. So this is, no! The mitzvah is the Shevach of Birkas HaGiffen. The Chiddush is, even if you say Birkas HaGiffen by itself, sometimes that could be its own special mitzvah. Shevach Birkas is the Shevach of Birkas HaGiffen. This is the Rashbam. It's a considered Shira al Hayayin. It's Shira al Hayayin. Just HaGiffen is Shira al Hayayin, not a Birkas Hananin. It's a Kiyum Shira. And therefore, the Rambam that fits who says it is a real Kiddush.
The Ritva brings Rabbeinu Tam. I have no idea what he meant.
No, oh, no. They're just trying to explain why it's called Rabbah. Why is it called Rabbah big? It's small. Why is it called big Kiddush when it's small? So half the Rishonim say Loshon Sagi Nar. It's a euphemism for small Kiddush, short Kiddush. No. This is a side point. I don't think it's connected to our Chakir. Why is it called Rabbah? Does Rabbah mean long? And it's a euphemism because it's short? Rabbi Natan says no. Rabbah means common as opposed to uncommon. Because HaGuffin is more common than Mekadosh HaShabbos.
He's not talking about why he's
saying. No, he's just talking about it's called Rabbah, because HaGuffin is very common. Anyway, this is a tremendous nafgamina. I'll mention one or two other nafgaminas, and then we'll see if we have time to mention everything. Okay, what's the other nafgamina? Could be, what if someone missed HaGuffin, but heard the main Birkas HaKiddush, right? Kedushas Hayom is what you would call it in Lashon Chazal. So, says the, excuse me, Magen Avraham, I know he's talking about Havdalah, let's assume there's no difference for now, although there might be, says the, but that's what the poskim assume, says the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah there says the same thing, Yotzah. Why? It's a Birkas HaGiffen, it's just a technical thing, that's a side point. You're Yotzah the Kiddush. However, said the Grach, Lo Yotzah, that's quoted in the Rav. No, it's part of the Kiddush, it's part of the Shira El Yayin. You didn't hear the proper Shira. And one or two other nafkaminas, and then I know we're going to have to stop soon. The
Rav didn't say that, Rabbi. The Rav didn't say that. That's by Kiddush.
I know. I'm just oversimplifying for now. Okay. Now, the way the Rashi was presents it here, it wouldn't be any different. The two other nafkaminas, how about Poris Mapo Makadish? Okay, we're not getting into it now. The hour is late, just the end of the semester. You get to go 10 minutes late. It's a rule that I invented since I came there. It's true. The Poris Mapa Mekadesh. Remember Poris Mapa Mekadesh? Some people do it on Purim, right? You're in the middle of a meal, Shabbat starts, you put the challah cover on, and then you say Kiddush. If you're already drinking wine, or for example, do you have to say a guffin again? Right? Poris Mapa Mekadesh, do you need another haguffin? Do you need another Haguffin? This is a machlokes Rishonim. I put the Bach who talks about it just because he's the one who analyzed it the rough way. It's a machlokes Rishonim. You could say, what's the machlokes? Is Prisas Mapa a hefsek or not? Right? So you could say it's a machlokes about hefsek. Avada Haguffin is a, but says the Bach, no. Came the Alfina Mekadosh Yami Korda Zorchim Mashavas Lakad Show. Vade mikor mole dibra kosov, etc. That ain lekadish kiddush alaylam kenchen notal kos biyadim levarich bor priya gofenu mekadish veod da kiddush have a hefsek, and also it's a hefsek. What does the Bach say? He says there are two ways to analyze it. You could say it's just a machlokas whether or not it's hefsek, right? So you could say no, or you could say yes, because of a hefsek. But says the Bach, no. Yes, because it's part of Birkas HaKiddush. He says, Zochreinu al Yayin doesn't just mean say it holding wine and then coincidentally have to drink the wine and then coincidentally say a guffin. No, it means say praise Hashem on the wine together with praising Him on the, day. It's part of Kiddush. And if it's part of Kiddush, Then, even though you're already Yotzei Hagafen, you still have to say Hagafen again. You're allowed to drink this wine. You're not Nenin or Olmzev Lo Bracha. You don't need a Birkas Nenin in this wine. Even though you don't need a Birkas Nenin, you still have to say another Hagafen as part of Kiddush. And that would work well for Sfarnim and Ashkenazim. Lishitasam, from Hilchas Bris Milah on Yom Kippur to Hilchas Arba Kosos. What about the second and fourth Kosos? What's unique about the second and fourth Kosos? There's no Hefsek. From the first to the second Kosos, there's no Hefsek, if you say another quickly at least. From the third to the fourth Kosos, there's for sure no Hefsek. It's a few minutes from the third and fourth Kosos. You just say Hallel. How long do you say Hallel? Okay, I don't know. Yes, little cats. And maybe it could be 6 hours, and that would be a Hefsek. But most people say Hallel for 10 minutes. So why do you need another bracha on the second and fourth Kosos? So says the Mechaber, there's no Agafen. Says the Ramah, he says, okay, we're not going to cause all the Rishonim here. Says there is a Hagafen, and why? So the Mishnah Berurah gives out two reasons, but one reason is clearly the main reason. Or you could say, yes, because of a Hefsek. The Mishnah Berurah suggests that, but that's not what the Rishonim say.
That's the Ramban, maybe.
What?
That's the Ramban. He says, because you can't talk.
Yes, okay, correct. That's because of a Hefsek. That's not the Bach. But over here, the Rishonim say, you know why the Rishonim say you need another Hagafen? What are the lines they quote from Sachim? That Chazal were talking four brachas on four mitzvahs. Each mitzvah should have four kosos on four brachas. Each bracha should have a kos. Just means in bracha la kos. Yes, because it's part of the birkas what? Birkas hageula and birkas hahalel. No, it's part of the Birkas HaMitzvah. Basically, this is the same exact shita as not the Rambam, but the Bach on Porch Bapo Mekadesh. Who cares if you're already Yotzei your Birkas HaNenin? This is not a Birkas HaNenin. This is a Birkas HaMitzvah. It's part of the Brach Masher Galanu. Of course, you have to say it, even though what the Chiddush is, what the Pashas, the Ramah, part of the Shonas, the Shitasa in Hilchas Yom Kippur. If I was up to, if I decided to drink the third kos, wait 10 minutes, say Shir Malos and Baruch Hinafshi from Tehillim, and drink another kos, I wouldn't need a bracha v'gafen. What do you mean? There's no hefsek. I just said a little Tehillim. But if instead of that I say Hallel and I say Melech Mu'ula Batish Bachos, then I do need a hagafen. Why? Is Hallel more of a hefsek than anything else? No. Because it's part of the bracha. It's not a birkas hanenin. It's part of the bracha. Okay, this affects some other things which I don't have time for right now. I'll just point out two other quick nafkaminas. One is the discussion of, but we don't really have time for the bir halacha that was in brackets. Can I say bench on a kos and have you drink it? Can I bench on a kos and have you drink it? If you look at it as regular birkas hanenin, then lechatchila, I should not ever even, maybe, yeah, I shouldn't say, okay, you have to be able to sing Rosh Hashanah. That's why I'm summarizing. Okay, we're not getting into these details, but how about, you know, can I bench on kos, say Hagafen, and you drink it? This all comes up with this weird Chacham Tzvi about how a Nazir Shimshon is Mezamin on a kos, or whether a Nazir Shimshon is allowed to be Mezamin on a kos. Okay, don't be another Shem Show. Anyway, what can we suggest? That here you would say, like the Chacham Tzvi, no, it's Usher. I mean, this is really within one side of the Shakavataria. No, how can I say Birkas HaNenin for you? You say for yourself. But, says the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha, I just call it Bir Halacha, yes? Okay, I am oversimplifying. That's also where Moshe's fascinating discussion. Should you sit or stand for Abdullah? Which is a double nafkamina. A, is it better sit or stand for Birkas HaNenin if you have the choice? Better to sit. Is it better sit or stand for Birkas HaMitzvah if you have the choice? Better to stand. So what is the Hagafen of Abdullah? And B, what if I'm being multi other people? We'll see. We saw this mission once. To be multi other people, I have to sit. So again, we're not getting into the details, but this is the Igros Moshe, Abdullah sitting or standing, and basically, what is Ramosha Paskin? few pasukim you should stand for Abdullah because of what we paskin in Hilchos Yom Kippur. Says the Igros Moshe. He says, if you are the Ran and the Rashba and Sfardim, then you should sit for Abdullah. And if you're Ashkenazi, then you should stand for Abdullah. He says, Pashut, since we Ashkenazim give the baby the wine on Yom Kippur for the bris, therefore we hold that it's really a Birksa Mitzvah, not a Birksa Nenin, and therefore Pashut, that we should stand for Abdullah, even though you say Geffen, that is a Birksa Nenin. Okay, this is a very, very crucial hear about what this whole Baruch Pir Gavin is all about. Give me 2 more minutes. Interestingly, you have to ask, do we paskin like all these things? One could make some chilukim between these things. Theoretically, one could say we Ashkenazim generally paskin like the more mechudish side. Fascinating. Ashkenazim paskin like the mechudish side of this chakira, not like the like pashat side of this chakira. You could still say the Mishnah Brura does cheat a little and say your yotzi if a guy missed hagafen. That could just be because he's yotzi b'dieved, even though he doesn't have all the full kiyum l'chachila limahadrin. It could also be because that is, you know, basically say that's an additional element which is not ma'akiv, the main chiyuv, it's just a kiyum. I'll just add one more thing. Let's go back to Rashi for a second. What's the chiddush of Rashi in Brachos above? Now we saw Rashi in Erevin, he started the ball rolling, but the Ravon continued it, the Rashbam continued it, maybe the Rambam holds that way in Kiddush Rabbah. Okay, the Grach of the Chalutin Kiddush and Abdullah, in the way the Rav quoted in Sukkah, he had a totally different fart. He had a totally different shot in the Grach in Sukkah. Only by Kiddush the Hagafen is part of it, because the Hagafen connects the Kiddush to your meal and makes it Makam Suda. But by Abdullah, you don't need to hear the Hagafen, and therefore the Grach is not against the Magen of Rav, and it's not based on Rashi at all. So if you look at Mishimish and Sukkah, he had a totally different shot in the Grach, and that's what Joel was saying for Lichtenstein. But we're not getting to that now. Let's just go back to Rashi for 1 second to finish up. Rashi Lishitasa, who started the ball rolling in Erevin, then says, ah. Notice, said Rashi, notice someday Bednarsh will put a board with some of my nafkaminas, and some of the nafkaminas will be, even if you don't need a Birkas Hanenin, you still say Hagafen if you're Porish Mafa Makadesh or if you're in a Pesach Seder, just for the Shevach of that mitzvah. Just for Shira al Hayayin. What's the Shira al Hayayin? So the way the base mayor says is, just like I thank Hashem for giving me food to eat, I thank Hashem for giving me wine so I can say Kiddush. I think the Rav's going further than that with Rashbam. It's not thank you Hashem for giving me something to say Kiddush on. You know, with Shpizen, thank you Hashem for helping me do mitzvos. No, it's that Shira al Hayayin, the holy dear bracha lakos, is not just I say the bracha while drinking wine like a toast. Is I combine my praise of Hashem for the mitzvah with my praise of Hashem with my praise of Hashem for the creations, that I combine my praise of Hashem for Ruchnius, my praise of Hashem for Gashnius, and I say, Hashem, you created this amazing wine, and you created the Torah, and all of Ruchnius and Gashnius gets put together into a big praise. That's Shira Layayin. So says Rashi, he takes it one step further. Rashi takes it one step further, and I don't know if all these, the Rama would take it this further, because here's only conceptual nafkamina and Perush, not in Halacha. Says one step further, says Rashi in Daf Mem Beis. He says, and therefore, during a meal, if I already said hamotzi, that's motzi all the drinks. It's motzi all the drinks, but you know what? It's motzi all the drinks that would get a shahakol, or get a ha'itz if you or hadama if you had some drinks that would get a ha'itz or hadama depending on your shita. But hagafen is different. Why? What Rashi and Brachos adds to this is that this whole board is that hagafen in a mitzvah is more than a birkas hanenin. What Rashi adds is, hold on a second. Once Hagafen, the mitzvah is more than a Birkas Hanenin, the chiddush of Rashi and Daf Mem Beis is that Hagafen, even when you're not doing a bracha ala kos, is more than a Birkas Hanenin. That's the chiddush of Rashi and Daf Mem Beis. The Rashi takes it a step further. Not only when I'm saying kiddush and Abdullah and Birkas Hasanim, Hagafen is more than a regular bracha. No, even when I'm just drinking wine, it's more than a regular bracha, because it's not just thanking Hashem for physical hana'ah. It's Shira al Hayayin. It is connecting to Hashem by those special foods, which have special mitzvos, which unite Ruchnius and Gashmius. And the reason I say Bracha Lakos is not because wine is so chashev and makes the Kiddush chashev. It's because Hagefen is so chashev and makes the Kiddush chashev. Because Hagefen is a greater praise than Birkas Hanenin. Because it's not just a praise for my Hana, it's a praise for the specialness of how Hashem created the world, whether I'm then or not. Now, I don't normally say it for no reason, but says Rashi, once HaGefen is praised for Shira al Hayayin, and remember what the Rashbam says, not that Asher Kedushan is also Shira al Hayayin, the HaGefen is Shira al Hayayin. Once the Kiyum of Shira al Hayayin and not just my, and not just for my Hana'ah, then even when I said Hamotin, I don't need to be Matar my Hana'ah. It might not be an Aver of Nenema Olo Zevelo Bracha to drink wine during a meal without a guffin, but I'm missing out on the special Shevach, because this is a Shevach of Shira al Yayin, of praising Hashem on a deeper level, and therefore this Bracha is more than a regular Birkas Nenin. That's the Chiddush of Rashi, since it's more than a regular Birkas Nenin, therefore even during a meal I have to say it. And then Rashi and Daf Mem takes this Chiddush and just expands it to one thing. It says, you know what else is more than a regular Birkas Nenin? Hamotzi. After all, what's the mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah? According to Rashi's Lashon, remember where we quoted from Rashi? To say Hamotzi on Lecha Mishnah. Hamotzi is a Birkas a mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah. It's like Kiddush Rabbah. It's not just a regular Birkas Hanenin. It's not that we have to have Lecha Mishnah and then coincidentally say Hamotzi. No, the Hamotzi is the Lecha Mishnah. It's the Shevach, it's the Shira Lapas. After all, you can get Kiddush Lapas also. It says Rashi, tremendous Kiddush, because of Rashi's Sad of the Lumdus of Bracha Lakos, Rashi says, two steps. Hagofen is more than a Birkas Hanenin. It's a special Shevach, and therefore say it even during a meal when you don't need a Birkas Hanenin. Just like you say in the Pesach Seder, second and fourth Kosos, when you don't need Birkas Hanenin, always say it even when you don't need Birkas Hanenin. And number two, says Rashi, and therefore you're not Yotze Shahakol HaGofen. You're not Yotze Shahakol HaGofen, because Shahakol is for a regular Birkas Hanenin. This is more than a Birkas Hanenin. This is a fundamental Shevach about the world which transcends my Hanah. Whenever I say HaGofen, I'm doing two things. I'm thanking Hashem for the Hana I get, and sometimes only doing one thing, like in Purim and Kaddish, and giving a deeper Shevach for the nature of the world called Shira al Hayayin. That once I have Yayin, I can give a deeper Shira. And the Chiddush of Rashi also applies to Pas. In Rosh Hashanah, they also mentioned Pas, the Hamotzi of Matzah as well. And there's a lot of lumdus there where it's only a matzah or lecha mishnah. Rashi or lecha mishnah. So therefore, Rashi just takes the idea further. He finds, basically what Rashi does, he finds the hagufin over there, which people think is a regular birkas hanenin, and says there it's not a regular birkas hanenin. Then he brings it back here and says, you know what? It's never just a regular birkas hanenin. It's always shira al hayayin. Just when you make kiddush, you have to say shira al hayayin. Absolutely, whether you like it or not. And when you drink wine, you only have to say shira al hayayin when you drink wine. When you drink wine in addition to you also have a chiyuv shira al hayayin, and that's why even if you said hamotzi and you don't have a problem hanah, you still need shira al hayayin, and that's when you're not yotze shahakol. Shahakol is yotze the chiyuv of thanking Hashem for hanah, but not the chiyuv of shira al hayayin, and that's not only shira al hayayin, it's pas as well. For haraya, hagafen, and hamotzi are the two brachos that are mitzvos. And not only brachos, because, and you can even say hamotzi for kiddush, because those are the two brachos that are shira alayayin ve'alapas, and that's why Rav Huna thinks you're not yotzei. Shahakol, Rav Yochanan might say, don't go so far. That's crazy. Or he might say, you're right, but you're still yotzei v'diyavon shahakol, because you still gave shira to Hashem. Okay, we didn't get to number three, and we didn't get to everything we could have said, but we'll have to call it a day, because it's very late. And I will see you back here in Shir in 2 weeks.
Maybe the